All right, everybody. Hey, it's Joel Radio with you, your pal Joel Fragamenti. Recording mobily from the mobile studios of Joel Radio. Not the palatial Ferndale studios. No. Those are under renovations. But I'm here with Corey Hall. Corey Hall, what's going on?
Shalom.
Today? We're in the Corey Hall's palatial studios.
Yes, we're in Studio North.
Well, I like to make Beatles comparisons, so this would be our, like, Let It Be.
Okay.
You could say that.
Not
which
at,
means...
Not at Abbey Road EMI, but at...
Yes. Let It Be was at Apple.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It actually moved around. It was Twickenham Studios and then Apple... And then they
was that the Apple studio that was built by Magic Alex?
Savile Row, yes. Which ultimately, Magic Alex's equipment didn't work, and they had to bring in the EMI mobile equipment, sort of like this. So we have to, when we're done with this, though, we have to go play on the roof for a little bit. That's all.
Okay.
We have to go.
If the tiles will hold.
We have to go yell racial epithets off the roof of your apartment building.
Good times.
Anyway, Joel
There's
Radio.
Been a lot of Paul interviews for this album.
Oh my God, the Paul interviews. And it's the White Album 50th anniversary, and they're doing a lot of Paul.
And every interview is like, what was it like to be a Beatle?
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody that, like, I feel like you're in this weird position where you have to explain to millennials that there was the Beatles.
Yeah.
And then you have to, like, ask a question for the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go in depth on the Beatles at any level.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just for guys like us that know all this stuff, it's just like we're getting literally nothing out of these Paul interviews.
Well, there's not a lot of new John Lennon information in the 35 years he's been dead or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they just continually ask about John and the relationship of, and it's like, well, that shit hasn't changed.
There's been no development in their relationship since then.
But Paul's got to come out and say they jerked off together. Paul's got to come out and say... John didn't compliment his songwriting, blah, all this stuff. It's kind of like...
Which, that sounded a little petty.
The not complimenting the songwriting?
No, the jerking off together. I mean, that
that one.
Who amongst us hasn't had a moment of self-release with our bestest friend?
If you hear an edit in this show, that's what happened. Me and Corey couldn't contain ourselves and decided.
Have that ever occurred to you...
I mean...
To be like, let me whip one out with my mate.
What do you guys want to do now? Well...
I mean, I've watched porn with other dudes, which was kind of a not infrequent occurrence.
Right, because only one guy had the porno. Usually.
In your 20s or whatever, when you're a teenager, you're like, have limited access to the porn. I had a friend, we had... he had his porn hidden in the drop ceiling in their basement.
Okay.
So you had to remember which tile it was under, and then you had to pull the tile up to get the, you know, little Oral Annie Does New York VHS.
Oh, it was a VHS. Okay, I was going to say, was it a magazine?
Yeah, no.
Because magazines were a shared experience.
I think he had like 3 VHS tapes.
Okay,
so those were the only porns that we saw.
Yeah.
And we had to like pull those out.
And you watched them with, because there was... There was one VCR in the living room.
Yeah.
But see, back in the 50s...
And that's when I was 14, 13.
Yeah.
You know, you're like...
Well, John and Paul met when they were both like 14 or 15. So, and they didn't have porno like we have it today.
No.
So, I mean, it's plausible, and I'm guessing it wasn't that unusual, but I don't know. There is the theory that John and Paul were lovers.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I've heard that, and I mean, even recently...
That stuff comes out all the time.
Yes.
I don't really buy it.
No, I don't buy it either. I mean, there's the John and Brian Epstein rumors, which...
If you were gay, would you put up with Yoko?
Well, basically the reason the Beatles broke up is because those guys decided not to do each other anymore.
Yeah, you know, this is...
I mean, that's theory, I'm just saying.
Now, this is up there with the we didn't land on the moon theory.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the
there's,
case.
Didn't they make a whole movie about how John and Brian Epstein went away for a weekend?
I forget the name of that. Well, they went to vacation in Spain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever. I mean...
Paul, I think, went to the Caribbean with George Harrison, and, you know, they took their girlfriends, and...
Okay, George was straight up about that post. George dated nothing but models.
Pretty much, yes.
George had the most attractive Beatle wives.
Well, yeah, Patty Boyd.
Yeah, yeah. Patty was the hottest one.
Yes.
I mean, straight. And,
well, Patty's in A Hard Day's Night, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's in the. They're singing to her on the train in the, you know. Hey, this has become Beatles talk.
Well, let's not make it Beatles talk.
Well, we could do this all day, but.
All right, well, let's get into.
George was about straight up crushing puss.
But there are a lot of Paul interviews, and he's not saying a lot. I mean, I thought the 60 Minutes one was.
What's he going to say?
Yeah, I know. There's not much
to say. And they're also kind of like. They're kind of like. Hey, you've achieved everything. We all know this new album's crap.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it great being a Beatle?
Yeah.
It's really like the pointlessness of these interviews at this point. Anyway.
Well, let me see.
Speaking of the pointlessness.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about Chevy Chase, Norm Macdonald's new show.
Oh, speaking of pointless.
We're going to review Maniac on Netflix. I saw one of the worst movies you can see on Netflix. We'll get Corey's thoughts on the Burt Reynolds funeral because what we got from Ted Moss was, quite frankly, not sufficient for the star that
I'm
Burt Reynolds
stunned.
Was. And we'll talk about some other stuff. Do you want to talk about, we have some Mystery Oreos, we got some good stuff.
But. Oh my God, Mystery Oreos.
And you can also see, in addition to not being able to be in the Joel Radio Studios, I'm injured today.
Oh God.
You can see that.
What happened there?
Well,
you and Paul McCartney were jerking off.
My thumb is injured, Corey. I can't really use that thumb for much right now, my left thumb.
Well,
because
bowling accident,
I was fighting crime, Corey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I cleared the streets of New York City of Rhino.
Is this a PlayStation injury?
And
is that you're saying?
And I think also Scorpion was in there.
Okay, you were playing.
Dr. Octopus is.
You literally hurt your thumb playing Spider-Man?
I literally hurt my thumb playing Spider-Man. I somehow damaged, I think, a ligament or something. That fucking PS4 Spider-Man is so good.
Everybody said it's great.
It's really good. Well, you played like the Batman games, the Arkham Batman games.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar to that as far as the combat, but then you get to swing around as Batman at 1,000 miles an hour. And since it's the Insomniac, the developers of Ratchet and Clank, it also has the Ratchet and Clank weapon wheel of Spidey gadgets that you use to take down these guys.
Well, so what, I mean, I guess they just add stuff to the webbing. Is that what it is?
Well, it's certain. There's a drone that will attack
them. There's like shock webbing.
There's like the instant stick webbing.
Yeah.
There's ways to pick the guys up and spin them around webbing. But it gets really intense. You're fighting guys. Sometimes you're fighting guys, you know, 50 against one at times. And
so it's got that kind of Batman mechanic.
Right.
Where you kind of.
You counter and you can do the reversal.
One guy to the next.
Yeah. So basically, I got called off of my radio show, 9:10 a.m. every Tuesday night with Mike Bonner. I got called off that show last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which meant I had an extra couple hours to kill, and I was right on the final mission of Spider-Man.
Like, they had too much Kanye coverage?
I think there was some Aretha funeral coverage 3 weeks later. And
were you
then,
there for the Aretha funeral day or no?
No, I was in Chicago, wasn't I? I think I was in Chicago for All In Starcast weekend, which we really haven't talked about.
Holy mackerel.
But anyway, so yeah, I got called off a radio. I said, I got 2 hours extra now tonight. I'll finish Spider-Man. And then in order to unlock all the Spider-Man outfits, I needed to do some side missions, which also those involve beating the shit out of like 50 guys at a time. And then the next day, I was like, man, my thumb is killing me.
In the previous Spider-Man games, there's a lot of, like, you have to climb to the top of every building to get, like, a comic book cover or something.
There's Spider-Man, there's skyscrapers and stuff. It's a different developer than those games. But, like, Avengers Tower is in the middle of Manhattan. So you can climb to the top of that.
Oh, there you go.
But, yeah, it's that Spider-Man game is so goddamn good. It's so good. But I hurt my hand. I'm hating life. I can't play video games.
You hurt your hand playing a video game.
I hurt my thumb. I have no grip strength.
What were you doing? You just jabbed the...
Well, what you do is you're spinning this around to, like, move Spider-Man, and you're, like, imagine you're using the triggers to pick up a weapon, and then you have to spin that weapon in a circle to knock down all the guys. And
this is a man closer to the grave than the cradle, injuring himself on a Spider-Man.
I did! I'm not ashamed.
I mean, you'll notice the Godzillas that are
on display. I'm Dr.
Maturity over here.
Yes.
But, yeah. Wow.
But, yes, I hurt myself playing Spider-Man.
Well.
But, hey, what are you going to do?
I apparently...
Well, I mean,
jam your finger.
You get older, you start getting a little arthritic, and the next thing you know, you can't play a video game.
Oh my God.
But the game is so frenetic. I could play a game, I just couldn't play more Spider-Man right now in my condition. I could play.
You could play some Dig Dug.
Yeah, I could play something that wouldn't be as intense. Anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about here. Do you want to dig into our mystery Oreos here?
Well, we're already enjoying the Haribo Smart Mix because eating into the microphone since 2005.
Yeah, well, tell everybody what's in the Smart Mix. I didn't even Star Mix. I didn't really look at the back.
It's the Haribo Kinderfroh und Erwachsene ebenso. That's
all right, but on the back,
kids and grownups love it. So
on the back,
that's what it says in the German packages. You've got your standard gummy bear.
Yeah.
Then there's cherries.
Okay.
There's like a dual-headed snake.
Yeah.
And then there's
those are two different flavors. I can tell you, I just ate one.
Okay. And then there's cola gummies.
Yeah.
And then there, what is this, like a cock ring? What is it?
It's
is
a
this
ring. Like now, I always thought, like, the ring, like, there was the cherries. But there's no cherries in this, but some of the rings have that cherry green and red coloring.
I don't know what exactly that ring has got going on.
No, well, you put it on your finger.
So you're saying the two-headed snakes have different flavors?
I think so.
All right.
That's my analysis.
Well, there
as
you
go. A gummy bear expert. As a gummy nerd.
A gummy professional.
A gummy professional.
What other nonsense have you wrought upon us?
Well, I mean, let's go to the Oreos first, because that's the standby. Oh, and then we'll get into this stuff. Well, I want to talk about Kavanaugh, just for a second.
Oh.
We've got to talk about Kavanaugh.
Okay.
Well, Grant, you grab the Oreos. Corey is the Oreo master.
We have to talk about Kavanaugh in the context of Oreos?
Well, if you follow Corey on Facebook, he'll sometimes...
Oh, well, I've done these.
Oh, you've done those? Damn, I thought I could stump you.
I did those. If you aren't, haven't followed me on social media. I will occasionally review live videos of Oreo flavors.
Yeah.
And these are good.
All right, well, I was going to say no spoilers because I haven't had them. Well, let's bust them out, though.
All right, well, you
crack them open and give me one.
Would you like some milk?
Nah, I got coffee. Not that's... I don't know.
Let me just make as much noise as possible.
By the way, these are the Rocky Road Trip Oreos.
Yeah.
Which are the limited... Did they say limited
edition? It says lift, but there's no seam there.
There's no seam where the lift is?
No.
You're just going to bust open the side? Go ahead.
I'm just going to...
Those may be staying here anyway.
I'd do these old-fashioned.
These might be part of the Corey Hall studio.
I don't know. Yeah, you're on a... I don't know how you're going to get all this junk food home.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out.
That almost worked.
My feeling is the other junk food item none of us are going to like.
Well, all right. Spoiler on the Rocky Roads.
Yeah.
But let me not prejudice your opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't had one yet, so let me see. So there should be, I'm expecting, some marshmallow and chocolate. What else to say? Cookie with marshmallow bits and Rocky Road flavored cream.
Mm-hmm.
But what is Rocky Road ice cream? It's just chocolate, marshmallows, and
peanuts,
vanilla, right?
Usually.
Peanuts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Sometimes there's peanuts.
All right. My initial impression is these may have been sitting on the shelf for a while. There is a slight staleness to the cookie. No real marshmallow that I can tell.
Well,
they're chocolatey and they're good in that way.
In the cookie.
The marshmallow's in the cookie and not the cream?
See how there's in the cookie?
There's little white blemishes in the cookie.
Yeah, there's marshmallow in the cookie.
What? How is that possible?
It's incredible, the technology. Oh, yeah, these have been on the shelf for a
while. Yeah, they have been. These mother effers.
These sons of bitches.
The Troy Target, you've let us down.
Damn them.
Well, you'll just have to eat a stale package of Rocky Road.
Well, there's been a stagnation in Oreo technology lately because...
There has been.
They have these Halloween flavors.
Yeah.
But they're not pumpkin.
No.
They're just orange food coloring in an Oreo. They're not giving us,
Yeah, I don't know.
Thankfully, they're not candy corn.
No.
I would say that when these were fresher, the cream was nice and supple.
I mean, it's a chocolate Oreo.
Yeah.
That's how I would say it. It's a chocolate Oreo. And as a chocolate Oreo, it's fine.
Yeah.
Again, my pass-fail with these is would I prefer this to a regular Oreo? The answer is probably not.
Now, you're getting a little bit of the chewy marshmallow bit in the cookie.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
It's in there.
Maybe it's just your tooth decay. Maybe it's your soft molars from eating chocolate and candy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'm done with these.
You're done with those? Wow.
I mean, they're fine. I mean, they were fine.
The massive disappointment.
Well, I wish you would have enjoyed them more. But you've already...
Well, I'd already had them. I'm sorry.
Well, they'll get eaten.
I should lie.
All right, let's do a story before we eat our next piece of shit. Speaking of pieces of shit, tell us about Kavanaugh. Tell us the Kavanaugh news today.
Well,
Corey.
Today's news about the delightful
Judge
Brett Kavanaugh, who has been nominated to serve for the rest of his life on the Supreme Court. And is that apparently he was arrested in 1985 for starting a brawl at a UB40 concert.
Now, they're saying he was actually arrested. It wasn't just there was a fight. There was actually... Is there a record of this arrest?
Yes. I'm sorry. Everybody write. Nobody writes a straightforward article.
They
They all got to layer on their jokes and snark on top.
Yeah. God, those people getting snarky about the news. Who the fuck are they?
I know.
Who do they think they are? All right, but... There was a restaurant. Now, wasn't it he was assaulted individual that may or may not have been the lead singer of UB40? Is that part of the article?
All right. Let's see.
Yeah, read it to me verbatim.
Fellow Yale alumnus and one-time Kavanaugh buddy Charles Ludington.
Okay.
Probably Charles Ludington III with these prep school guys.
Fair enough.
Now a history professor at North Carolina State University recounted the incident Monday in interviews with Bloomberg News and CNN. By his account, the two of them and one other friend had retired after the UB40 show in 1985 to a bar called Demery's, and they noticed a man they thought resembled Allie Campbell, the group's lead singer, and decided to approach him. He looked at us looking at him and said in sort of an aggressive manner, "What are you guys looking at?" Bloomberg. Ludington told Bloomberg, and I said sort of apologetically, "Sorry, we thought maybe you were the lead singer of UB40.
M's fighting words.
Yeah. I've been called all sorts of things by a low down dirty dealing horn swaggler, but I ain't never been called the lead singer of a British reggae band.
So
why don't you piss up all them ropes?"
So a Yale barfly is Yosemite Sam? Is that what we're saying here? Okay, fair enough.
Well, what in tarnation is this here fault of all about you?
What are they?
Heard of me as a member.
The gold prospectors of New Haven, Connecticut.
That's right.
All right. So, and then there's a skirmish.
The lookalike was more angered than flattered, which led Kavanaugh to swear at him and the man to swear back. Next thing you know, Brett throws his beer at the guy.
All right.
The guy swings at Brett. A brawl ensued, and Kavanaugh was one of five men taken to the New Haven Police Department for questioning.
All right.
So there.
But he was not charged. He was booked.
No, I guess he was just
booked and released.
Involved in an incident.
Honestly, look, I believe me. First of all, there'd be UB40 music for this whole bit. If we were in the Joel Radio Studios.
Well, you might have to tax them on.
I could probably add some red wine in there.
Well, so I posted this story and I said, you know, Kavanaugh should probably be disqualified just for attending a UB40 concert. Jared Mahler says this whole story is the whitest thing ever.
It is kind of
like the stereotypically whitest thing you could do.
There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, UB40. What? That was a thing.
Now, look, I know this.
Well, now we have to explain to the kids.
I know.
Now, there's no kids listening to this, but remember when we started doing podcasting, we were like this young, hip, innovative thing that people didn't know what we were doing. And they
talk
were like,
about Kavanaugh.
People didn't know how to get it. Like, what? You put it's on your phone? Yeah. How do I do it? What do I? You down? We had to download it.
The
and
saturation point has been reached.
We had to burn a copy for people. And
but
now,
it wasn't,
people are like, who are these old farts?
See, this story reminds me of that time that Clarence Thomas was caught blowing Thomas Dolby backstage. Isn't this remind you of that? Isn't there something?
Well, Clarence Thomas was into watching porn with other people.
He was.
He liked
didn't Antonin Scalia have sex with the girl from Human League? Where did these things happen, Corey?
I know.
Isn't this the case?
I know that Sandra Day O'Connor did finger cuffs with the Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Oh, yeah. I think that's
in
true, too.
And
didn't the members
and
of Simply
Peppermint sprinkle your mind? They were, yeah.
Wasn't Ruth Bader Ginsburg photographed getting off the tour bus of Simply Red back in 1983? Isn't that true, Corey? I mean, well, there's a long history.
No, but
of...
she blew Bobby Darin. I know. She...
She blew Bobby Kennedy. She blew Bobby.
She was very progressive. She got on the tour bus with the ink spots in 1956. They ran a train on her. Ruth Bader Ginsburg got tore up by Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
Little Anthony and the Imperials took their turns. Oh.
Ran Bustos on RPG.
I mean, why not?
Oh, God.
I mean, shit.
Oh.
Hey, you're going to you're gonna play the sock hop. You get the spoils.
Do we know that Clarence Thomas wasn't at this UB40
concert?
I don't
know.
Seems like a likely attendee as well. These fellows really know how to reggae. We've heard like two words from Clarence Thomas since.
He doesn't give any fucking
nothing,
interviews.
Not anything. Yet. Since the Anita Hill thing, we haven't heard one word about it.
Right.
I remember the big thing there was.
I thought Sotomayor and Tito Puente had a hot thing.
Holy,
isn't that the case?
Just banging and slanging. Yeah. Yeah. She was actually the girl in the Tijuana Brass cover with whipped cream. Sonia Sotomayor.
But I like Kit Kavanaugh, like, hey, you look like the guy from UB40. All right, let's fight. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you just see UB40,
so
maybe you're excited to see the guy from UB40.
Yeah, but are you going to start a fight with him?
Well, are they saying the guy, the doppelganger for UB40 started the fight? He
Brett Kavanaugh threw the beer at him.
Right.
Because they were like, you look like the guy from UB40. Okay. And the gentleman took that rightly as a slander against his character.
Okay. First of all, this story holds no... There's no way this is possibly true. Because we know Kavanaugh loved beer.
Yeah, he would not have thrown a beer across a bar. Not have wasted
it's
a beer.
It's impossible to happen, Corey. Please.
Did you... It was while I was watching that testimony, which was a horror show for all of America, that whole debacle.
It was longer than Aretha's funeral.
It was just... And he was just angry and shouty and... It went from two tones. It was like she was all kind of like sad. It was like torture porn in the first half.
It was because
she was just very meek and kind of sad and trying to get through her testimony. Mm-hmm. And then he was up there like doing a Sean Hannity bit. Like, I can't believe how dare you. And it was just like he was this bellicose jerk. So, okay, the Republican talking point now, like Anthony Scaramucci and some of these slap nuts.
Yeah.
This is the common accepted answer. Well, we're pretty sure she was raped, but it couldn't have been Kavanaugh.
That's about
the flimsiest argument you can make. Right, you know what I mean? They're like, well, we believe her. I'm sure some guy held her down and put his hand on her and threw her around.
It couldn't have been our guy. By the way, now I sound like a dick. What is she actually saying happened to her? Because I did not watch the testimony, and the newspapers aren't exactly running that as the front page.
They're saying that he... grabbed her, shoved her into a bedroom at this party with his other buddy who was watching and laughing and jerking off like with John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And he started putting his hand in her pants and grabbing her and feeling her up.
Yeah.
But she was wearing a bathing suit.
Ah.
She had a one piece on. Apparently it was a pool party.
Okay.
And so she had a one piece on under her sweatshirt or whatever.
So he was foiled by a layer of spandex.
Yeah, and he was too drunk to figure out how to get into her.
I'm not laughing at the situation, believe me. I'm laughing at this as a ridiculous, stupid.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's a
That
behavior for a college guy is idiotic.
So he held her down on the bed and then put his hand over her mouth so she wouldn't scream.
Oh, God.
And was trying to get in her bathing suit. And then I guess he gave up because...
He gave up.
He was foiled. He was foiled by some swimwear. He was foiled by that, that Brooke Shields one piece that she was wearing. It was too much for him to figure out. And anyway.
But
she recounted this testimony. So it was like kind of sad watching her.
She was groped and...
Yes.
Yes.
Forcibly held down and groped.
Sure, okay.
Which, you know, is not... rape, but it's not. It's actionable.
It's
probably legally actionable.
It is probably legally some degree of criminal sexual conduct.
Yes. Assault, sure.
Yeah.
And anyway, but they're now like, well, I'm sure that happened to her, but it wasn't Kavanaugh, which is which is like, you know,
right?
Whatever. I think if anything, Brett Kavanaugh has testified to being an atrocious frat boy.
That's what it sounds.
And it's, I mean, like, just for those reasons, I would be like,
well,
I'm good with you not being on the.
But
Supreme
don't
Court.
We want Supreme Court justices that actually had a life and were just sitting in the library 24/7?
Nothing good came.
No,
from
I understand.
His,
he's a garbage.
He
person.
He sounds like an entitled.
But at least he was as a young
man. He's starting
man.
A fist fight at a UB40 concert. Look, he sounds kind of like.
It's the after party, but
it just sounds like a frat bro.
Yes.
Like, he had testified to basically, right. One, he was like, I was virginal and studious.
Yeah.
So there's no way that could have happened. Right. Then he's got a calendar of all the keggers that he went to and did, and was shotgunning, you know, shotgunning Natty Light up his butthole.
Yeah.
Which is what boofing is, by the way.
That's what boofing is?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cause
I've never boofed.
No, I've never boofed either.
To tell the boof.
I've never looked at an alcoholic beverage and went, there must be a quicker way to get this in. I never thought the mouth wasn't the appropriate entryway for a beverage. I never looked at that. Yeah, so there's like in his yearbook, it was the whole thing was ridiculous because the senator, the like Sheldon Whitehouse or whatever is going, now can you explain what boofing is? And he was like, it refers to farting. And then, like, the Internet Urban Dictionary got on his dick and was like, nope.
John Wilkes Booth.
There you go.
I don't know.
So, anyway, I think Kavanaugh just, if anything, only has hurt himself with his angry, shouty testimony.
Yeah.
I'm sure it played to Donald Trump. It played to, like, Trump went, sounds like a cool guy. I like beer and I like to hang out. And actually, Trump said he never drank beer.
Yes, I've heard
of
that
all the freaky Trump. Things about Trump.
I don't know what
he says he's never had a beer.
But Trump was at like Studio 54 and stuff. Well, he should have been doing something.
He had to done some.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a Coke guy.
You would think.
That's a cocaine guy.
I mean, a rich guy in Manhattan in the 80s, probably doing Coke, but you don't know that.
But Coke was like how you showed off.
Yeah.
You were like, I have too much money. Let me buy.
If you add all the coke, then you could hang out with Mick Jagger, and all. You know, I mean, that was.
I couldn't possibly believe Trump didn't do a little booger sugar. I mean,
well, but even that, you go, well, who cares? I mean, and that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm not really caring either. But like, basically, Kavanaugh testified against himself and was like,
well,
he was like, I couldn't have done this. I was a straight A student and a studious guy. And then he's like, well, we'd hang out at Tobin's house and lift weights and then drink beers. So it basically, like, he sounded like a frat boy asshole that would hold a girl down and try and get in her bathing suit.
I think he shouldn't be confirmed for buying a ticket to UB40.
Exactly. That's enough. That's enough of his.
Believe me, I can get you replacements tour dates from 1985. I'm sure they were in Connecticut at some point.
It's like a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Because we know if he went to UB40.
Right.
I'll guarantee you he went to Loverboy.
Yeah, well, whatever.
You know,
I mean,
I'm saying
they're lame.
And then from Loverboy, you're right into REO Speedwagon. Right. And
but
you,
it's not
you
even,
don't know what the guy was capable of.
He didn't go see Bob Marley and the Wailers. He went to fucking white fucking.
Exactly.
Homo reggae.
Exactly. He went to the. That's the worst
exactly.
part. Because he went to the whitest reggae.
All right. Okay. Let's say Kavanaugh, you know, got in a fist fight at a Ramones concert.
Yeah.
Fucking put that guy in. You're there you are. Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Well, there's
but that's not, you know.
Sometimes there's a meme where it's Bernie Sanders and they're like, none of these other candidates ever saw Fugazi live. And it was just fucking.
Right. I mean, you kind of go,
and,
all right.
Yeah, if it, you're right. If it was like
ticket,
Kavanaugh's like, I kicked a guy in the face at a Bad Brain show in 1981.
I mean,
I'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool.
You got your team. We'll take you. Do it. UB40, no thanks.
I was at a Frankie Goes to Hollywood show, and I drank too much. No, that's not. UB40. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't. You got to have. You know, it just shows a lack of taste. It just shows the whole thing. It's
that was
tacky.
A couple weeks ago, I did a list of, on Facebook, I started a list of dad band names.
Okay.
One of them was Weeby 40.
Okay, well, that is good. Yeah, all right, so Kavanaugh,
if you
look like the guy from UB40.
I mean, there's another dickhead on the list that they can just pull up. if they bail on him.
Well, that's the whole thing about Kavanaugh.
They're really just running the clock out is what
this whole thing is such a circus. And it's such a political, the Republicans are voting one way, the Democrats are voting another way. And I have no doubt that if Kavanaugh was appointed by a Democrat and the seats in the Judiciary Committee were the other way around with 11 Democrats and 10 Republicans, and this was a Democratic, you know, appointee, it would have been 11 Democrats and 10 Republicans. I don't believe that that really makes much of a difference.
The Republicans have lost any of their ability to claim partisanship as a cancer.
That's true.
Obama put up Merrick Garland and they said, nope, we're not even going to hear it. So they've basically opened the, they're just admitting it's a partisan thing.
It's just a sleazy, the whole thing's just sleazy.
So, you know, whatever. You know.
I mean, and again,
it wasn't a good look. I'll tell you that much.
It's not a good look. All right.
What was with Alyssa Milano being there, too? Did you see that? Alyssa Milano was sitting like two.
I believe the next hearing in that room was to the Senate Judiciary Committee was going to try to figure out who the boss was.
Yes.
So she was there going to testify if it was like, Angela or Tony.
Like he was making faces, so I took a couple pictures.
Yeah, I mean,
and look who's down there.
She's down there. But, I mean, she's Miss Me Too. By the way, has Melissa Milano even ever said that she was?
I don't know what Alyssa Milano has said, but she was there.
Whatever. I mean, look, you want to be an activist and you're for women's rights and you feel that this guy's a dirtbag and you want to show up. Is it a grandstand? Absolutely.
Did they call?
But I think she knows that.
Did they call Tony Danza to the stand?
Oh my God! I should review his show.
Oh, he's got a new.
He's
show?
He's got a new show.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Should I do that right now, or do you want to? Do you want to wait? For
no,
the
I haven't
TV?
Seen it. Go ahead. What? Tell me a memory.
Okay, it's called The Good Cop.
Isn't there already a show called that?
Well, I think you're right about that, but this is a new show. It's on Netflix. It's called The Good Cop.
Oh, there's The Good Doctor.
Okay, there's this,
which actually I call, which is about an autistic kid who's a genius doctor. So as I call it, Derpy Hauser.
All right, fair enough. This show is so Tony Danza is a disgraced police detective or police chief or something.
Named Tony.
And I think he is named Tony. I think he is. I'm not 100%. I think he is.
He can't play.
I've only watched the first episode of this. And he is, but his son is the top detective in New York City. And he's a super straight-laced, by-the-book shooter, played by one of America's great comedic actors, Josh Groban. And Josh Groban, first of all, how is Josh Groban the son of Tony fucking Danza?
I don't know.
Like, who did Tony Danza fuck to get that white bread idiot, Josh Groban?
Big Tony is a lovable but not exactly honorable former
NFL officer
who never followed the rules.
Yes.
He lives with his son TJ, a straight-laced NYPD detective who always follows the rules while solving Brooklyn's toughest cases.
I just told you all that.
Good Lord, am I out.
They are self-contained, mysteries. So, you know, but it's from the creator of Monk. So that should sort of give you a little feel for the vibe a bit. It's a light murder show.
It's a light murder.
It's a light
now,
murder.
Okay. Our good friend John Tenney will have no Tony Shalhoub before him. He will not accept Tony Shalhoub in his presence.
Really?
Yeah, I know he's got a real.
He's not watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Well, we all have deal breakers.
Yeah.
We have like certain when you see them in a project, you're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's his. Tony Shalhoub.
Well, look.
Now, I think Tony Shalhoub's a fine actor.
Okay. Wait.
And I liked Monk just fine for what it was. And I watched a little bit of Monk.
Yeah.
I don't like cop shows in general, and I don't like...
You know, it's a procedural
I definitely
thing,
don't like CSI and NCIS, but a personality-based detective show is a little different.
Yes.
So if they're doing this, like, hey... Yeah, like Columbo.
Yeah.
I love Columbo.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't usually like murder mysteries.
But that's a
personality show.
Right.
So is that what they're trying to do? Is Tony Danza?
It's sort of, imagine Brooklyn Nine-Nine meets Murder, She Wrote, and they've got The Good Cop. So.
Well, I don't want to imagine that.
Well, that's what it is. And we talk about deal breakers. I mean, how is Josh Groban not somebody's deal breaker as an actor? Jesus
I would say, Kevin James a deal breaker? I think he's kind of a deal breaker
I think so.
For me. That, or at least...
But, but, But my thing is, if you're a non-actor, and again, I don't think... You know,
Kevin James has never been in anything good.
No, but like Josh Groban was on The Office, right, for a little tiny bit. And he was fine on The Office.
Was he in the later seasons when it was all in the shitter anyway?
He was at the penultimate episode, I think.
The Robert California era, or was
Didn't they have a garden party that was like Steve Carell's?
I basically tried to block out that thing happened.
Anyway.
After Carell left. Right.
Maybe it wasn't Steve Carell. Maybe it was the final episode of The Office. Maybe it wasn't Steve Carell's final episode. But anyway, my guys who kill me are like Timberlake in a comedy. I just can't do that. I'm sorry. And I know you love him, but your boy Josh Hamm's fantastic.
Well,
John Hamm is not a comedic actor to me.
John Hamm has been since Mad Men was great television, brilliant show.
Yes.
Since then, John Hamm has been really in a lot of shit.
Yes.
Like a really. Let's look at his IMDb.
But I mean, I know people like those guys because they host SNL. And they're considered really funny for hosting SNL. Look,
you're offended by non-comedians who everybody thinks are hilarious.
Yes, yes.
And that's a common thing that happens everybody heralds,
he's so funny. Oh, Justin's so funny. Yeah, Gilbert Gottfried's really funny. Oh, I don't like him. He's a jerk.
Right.
You know, it's like, what the fuck off?
Yeah.
Norm MacDonald's funny? No, fuck.
No, but that's the problem.
I don't like Norm.
Actual real comedy people get passed over. Well, okay, when Bill Burr does a serious part, it's kind of interesting.
Okay, yeah.
He was in Breaking Bad, and he's done a few little parts. Because, you know, he's a really funny comedian who can also act. Most really funny... Did you ever see the movie The Informant?
No.
Matt
Damon. Damon. I know the movie, but
Matt Damon, another guy who everybody thinks is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, that's true too.
Although I like Matt.
Well, now he's Kavanaugh.
Yeah, yeah,
that's great.
I think Matt Damon.
I saw the meme, and granted, this is coming from the right, but it was like you're making fun of a guy who may have assaulted a woman, while your best friend in the '90s assaulted half Hollywood.
They didn't bring in Affleck. Harvey. They didn't bring Affleck to play Kavanaugh, which they could have.
Yeah,
because then everyone would go, "Oh yeah, Affleck."
I see what you're doing there.
But. Okay, Matt Damon is one that they definitely say, oh, he's this hilarious.
Yeah.
And you know what? Matt Damon's actually not... He is funny.
He's a comedic actor, though, but you buy him in a comedy.
He's done comedy. He did the Stuck on You.
Yeah.
But everybody overpraises him,
But anyway, Josh Groban.
No.
Gave him a series. Josh Groban. He's got to carry a series. And I'm thinking no.
Okay.
But anyway, that's Tony Danza's new show. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It just
came out. Seen the trailer for Bad Times at the El Royale?
Yeah, that comes out soon, right?
Speaking of John Hamm.
Yeah, and then John Hamm's in that. It's supposed to be good.
It comes out next week.
All right. Did you see it?
That trailer just scares me because it looks like
It looks like a 90s kind of vibe, Tarantino vibe.
It's like a 90s Tarantino knockoff.
Yeah.
Destiny turns on the radio.
It kind of does.
2 days
in the valley.
Yeah, John Hamm was in Tag.
And Tag was okay. I mean, it wasn't great or anything. Like, don't go out of your way to see Tag.
He was in... he was in Baby Driver.
Yeah, but he was serious in Baby Driver. He wasn't... Even though Baby Driver was a comedy, an action comedy, he still was
heavy. All
right,
one cool thing he did was Marjorie Prime. Which was kind of like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah,
movie.
I never even saw that. And I know he did Black Mirror, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
But he's been doing a lot of shit. Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Huh.
He was on Last Man on Earth for an episode.
Yeah.
Children's Hospital. He's just going... Angie Tribeca. He's just going and doing comedy. Anyway, speaking of bad news shows.
Okay. Well, I got more stuff before we get into TV. Are we getting into TV?
You got more stuff.
Well, we were going to do our mystery, another mystery snack.
Oh,
why don't we do that?
Did your belly not
explode from the gummies and the...
I only had one Oreo, so...
All right, well, let's open those up, Corey, because it's time of year, Corey.
Oh, fuck me.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So it is that time of year, Corey. It is October 2nd, I believe, as we're recording this. And it is time for everything to be pumpkin spice, Corey. And when you talk about, a pumpkin, a delicious latte, add a little pumpkin spice
Becky's
to it.
Gonna
Corey.
Becky. This
you
looks
gonna,
like
you're gonna get a little pumpkin pie. How about America's favorite snack food, the Twinkie? In a pumpkin spice variety. There are 10 for your enjoyment, Corey. I'm pretty sure we could split one for the purposes of the show.
I think we're going to eat about half of one. I think I might have to give the other nine.
Well, we're going to do a science experiment. Do the birds of Troy, Michigan enjoy Twinkies?
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen here today on this show.
Sometimes there's homeless guys that hang out on the train overpass by the Whole Foods.
You do that. They won't eat these fucking things.
They're like, man, I'm just.
But this to me,
I'm just trying to get high. I don't want this shit.
This thing to me looks like a garden variety Twinkie cake.
Should I get a knife and?
But
cut
the you know what? Just give me a whole goddamn Twinkie.
All right.
And you take one too, though.
Well, the pumpkin spiceification of America has really been.
And these are. And I don't know if it's one of those things where, like, as a kid, everything just seemed bigger, but Twinkies feel like they've gotten smaller over the years. But is it a thing where just, like, I was 3 feet tall when I started eating Twinkies?
So I loved a Twinkie as a kid.
Yeah.
I can think of maybe two times in my adult life I've had a Twinkie.
Yeah.
Since my, like, early 20s.
Right. They smell like pumpkin. They smell like pumpkin pie. Mm. I kind of like pumpkin pie.
Well, the picture...
And I like whipped cream on pumpkin pie. So this might work.
So the cream has a sort of brownish tint.
I see that on the box. But how is it in real life?
This really looks like a scope of your colon, like on the picture. You know what I mean? It looks like a rectal imaging.
Yeah.
They're searching for polyps.
Yeah. I know what you're about to say, and I'm afraid I'm about to say the same thing. Go ahead. Come on.
You go ahead.
Sometimes, Corey, and you'll never do this. Corey's the last guy to do this, but I will.
I don't think...
These are actually pretty good.
They're not unpleasant. Yeah,
I'm sad to say that these are kind of tasty.
I wanted to hate them.
I want to hate them, too. God damn it. I want to throw these at the singer at UB40, but they're fucking kind
of
good.
I'm not getting a lot of pumpkin. I'm getting...
No, like, the cream is like pumpkin pie.
I'm getting a little cinnamon.
Well, that's pumpkin pie, though.
Sure, and I'm getting, like, the Twinkie cinnamon flavor is not bad.
These aren't bad.
It looks hideous.
It looks absolutely awful. There's nothing about that that looks good.
No.
But, God damn it, they kind of got it. They kind of nailed it.
Now, in many ways, including my disdain for UB40.
Yes.
As many people know, I have the soul of a black man in many regards.
Okay.
And to the extent that I prefer sweet potato pie to pumpkin pie.
Oh, my goodness.
I do. I would, if I
have it out there.
If I have a choice.
Line has been drawn.
White people default to pumpkin pie.
That is true.
Between now and January 1st.
Yeah, you could even have that at Christmas.
Sure. You can have it at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Even Halloween-themed parties might have pumpkin pie. And given my choice between sweet potato or pumpkin, I'm going to go sweet potato. It's so sweet, though.
It's so sweet.
It's.
I mean,
like,
that is more than enough.
Like, I can't even finish
it. No, one is enough.
But not really as hideous as I'd like to think it was.
I know. I'm actually kind of... I was ready to leave
those. It does have a film that coats your tongue afterwards.
Like I said, I was ready to leave these here or throw them off your balcony as appropriate. Now I feel like my girlfriend might want one of these, so maybe I should take these home with me. I don't know.
Well, Becky's like these.
Well.
Not that your girlfriend's a Becky, but I'm just saying.
No, but she's a...
Wow. I'm stunned by this.
Yeah, this is shocking.
I don't want to give a woodchuck diabetes, or I would throw this right off the balcony here.
Could we give those out for Halloween?
Yeah.
Like if a kid came to your door and you handed him a...
You know how the world
Twinkie?
You know how the world has changed as well.
How's that?
You can't just give people stuff.
Oh yeah?
Like you know what I mean? Nobody trusts when you give
them. Okay.
Michael Moore showed in Bowling for Columbine that there was like people in the '80s freaked out about like razor blades being in candy.
Okay.
And that there were no case. There was one case, but it was inside the family. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was a family incident where they poisoned the kids' candy. It wasn't like they gave it to the public.
Yeah.
And so since then, everyone's freaked out about their candy and like...
Well,
And so now people just don't trust that you're going to give them something.
Right.
I remember we, as a prank, as a goof, was we used to be just do ridiculous stuff. Mm-hmm. Like we used to have John Saxon's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd watch Battle Beyond the Stars or whatever, John Saxon movies and... And we had the Cosby birthday party.
Okay.
Long before anyone knew.
Sounds like a different party. Yeah.
Right. Long, but I know what we should have been giving people, but we bought cigars, we put on sweaters, and we walked around handing out Jell-O pudding cups.
Yes.
We bought like a big 32 case of Jell-O pudding, and we walked around handing out Jell-O pudding cups and drinking Cokes. And telling everybody to celebrate the cause's birthday. We would get chased right off the street now if we tried to do that.
But like if we said, here's what I would do. I would take my notebook here. I would write free Twinkies on it, Corey. Mm-hmm. I would tape it to the front of that Twinkies box, and I'd leave it down at the schoolyard. The cops would be over here in fucking 20 minutes
if
I did that.
Well, you know what we could do is take a microphone and the field recorder and stand outside the Starbucks on the corner.
And see if anyone wanted
a
pumpkin Twinkie.
And interview them.
Well, that seems like more work than I'm willing to do. It's a great idea. Look, if you find a podcaster that gives a fuck, give them that idea, because they'll gladly do it. I, on the other hand, want to talk about the Burt Reynolds stuff. No. Do you want to tell us about Star Wars, Corey? Because you had a Star Wars
story. Wow.
I know.
Well, this is a ridiculous story, so...
Because this is a thing that I've actually done more research in since we last talked about this topic.
Well,
on the
show. So there's for everything that happens in modern life on the internet, there's sub factions within sub factions, and there's a very vocal group of Star Wars fans that are not happy with the direction of how Star Wars is going. Mm-hmm. And half of them title their videos like, SJWs are trying to steal everything that's good and holy about Star Wars.
Yes.
And there's also a similar comic book movement about this.
Yeah.
And the problem with these guys is that they're both right that some of this stuff is crap.
Yes.
Or that the comic books are being written for people that never read comic books.
Yeah.
Or by people who never read comic books. And the Star Wars movies are not aimed at the fans.
Yeah.
They're aimed, you know what I mean? Like...
Well, there's some stunt casting going on. They're racial equality
which is just how Hollywood operates.
Yeah.
And with the Star Wars movies, that doesn't bother me as much as when they go, guys, Spider-Man's a black woman now.
Yeah.
So that's just how it is.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, you must be a hater. you're just like, I'm like, no, I don't care if you create a character and make them whatever you want them to be.
Right.
But when you go... Superman, who's existed for 75 years, is not this thing anymore.
Yeah,
that's just like trolling.
Well, it's
just silly trolling.
It's changing the fiction that already exists to suit some modern audience.
Look, obviously, look at Black Panther.
Yeah.
Was a very successful movie.
Yes,
I liked it.
Right,
and the character has been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
So I didn't go, wow, I can't believe they're shoving a Black Panther movie. It just made sense because it was a popular character. That existed.
I said we.
So it was like what?
Look, I said if that's a hit, then we're gonna have, we're gonna have Captain Chink and Super Dyke, and we're gonna have all of the minority groups are gonna get their own superhero, and maybe fine.
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah,
it's Admiral Chink.
Sorry about
Excuse
that.
Excuse you.
I apologize.
No, I don't know.
By the way. It's me and my girlfriend's Christmas costumes, our Halloween costumes, yes. I'm
but,
Captain
Chink. So on one hand...
I'm super chinky.
On one hand, there is a bunch of crazy right-wing...
No, keep talking.
Oh.
Don't be distracted by GMA Day.
Oh, God.
With Michael Strahan.
Who's the... Oh, Molly Shannon's going to be on.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I used to be your go-to guy for bad morning television,
oh,
or in this case, afternoon television, but... Yeah.
Well, now we're down to what, like three soap operas exist?
Yeah, the soap operas are gone, but there's more of this garbage.
There's still Days of Our Lives exists, right?
Okay, so this is...
Did Guiding Light go away? Are we down to General Hospital, Days of Our Lives? And All My Children? Are those the three?
I think it's one of the networks is out, right? Is it NBC's out?
No, Days of Our Lives is NBC.
Oh. Well, maybe CBS is out?
Yeah. Well, let me look.
Anyway, so this show, I would tell you what this show is.
Days
well, leave this on so I can talk
okay,
about
I'm just saying,
it.
Look.
Okay, Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless, and then General Hospital's on it,
okay,
too.
So
okay,
so there's like...
All right.
There's four soap
right.
operas still alive.
So here's the thing. Get rid of that thing. I want to see Michael Strahan in his full... I want to see The Gap in its full glory.
Well, can we get Michael Strahan every job on television now? Is that the...
So this is the breakout hour of Good Morning America, meaning Good Morning America's over. They use the studio. They haul in a bunch of tourists that probably weren't there for the regular GMA. And they're doing, you know, breakfast talk in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. They're doing Regis and Kelly without Regis
Much
and
Kelly.
Much
like McDonald's now offers breakfast all day. We're going to get this sunshiny breakfast talk.
Yes.
The rest of the day.
So...
And you know what? Enough.
So Sarah Haynes, the blonde lady, was Hoda and Kathy Lee's flunky. She was like the kind of the intern on that show. And she left to go to like Good Morning America proper. And then she became the breakout, you know, to do this hour with Strahan. So, and then Strahan's there because he's the one guy that can host a television show.
I'm glad that Michael Strahan left Live with Kelly so he could do something different.
He's showing them he can do a show every bit as stupid and vapid as that.
What's the deal with puppies?
It's just like, oh wait, oh, what is this? This is a mitten that cleans.
I don't even know.
I think this is a mitten that you can dust with.
I think they tell stories.
You just take your hand and wipe down.
I think they talk about their babies for about 20 minutes. And
so Joy and I were at Rayo's the other night. Got in the table.
We were talking on the phone the other day about how I hate Regis and why I hate Regis. And I guess my thing with Regis is that
I was having dinner with Fran Tarkenton. Okay.
But there is a difference between Regis and like Seacrest in a sense. And here's why. Regis does have a personality. Mm-hmm. Regis does seem to have a sense of humor. And Regis does seem sharp enough that when a guest comes on who may have something controversial to say, or there may be something interesting about them or something in the news that's about them that Regis would know about. But Regis would never fucking ask any hard-hitting questions.
No.
Because they were just there to promote whatever fucking movie they had. And they knew that if they ask hard-hitting questions, the guest wouldn't show up.
Well, that's the thing.
And Seacrest is just dumb and doesn't even know what that is. And Seacrest is just looking in the mirror before the whole show. He's not doing any prep.
When Regis...
So that's the difference for me. But I still hate Regis.
Well, you know,
it doesn't make
Ryan
Regis
Seacrest never masturbated with his friends. Because he's got a mirror that he can masturbate into.
With his friend. He's got... He's got three college sophomores over at his place right now, stroking it. Are you
kidding
me?
Right. I mean, with a male friend. He doesn't have any male friends.
I don't know what Seacrest has. Yeah, I know he's on yachts with lots of pretty blondes, but it doesn't mean
a
lot.
And he's got a full length mirror.
Yeah, I know what
that
you mean.
Is usually covered in cocaine, but instead he wipes it off to spank it onto.
Jeez.
Anyway,
he was Merv's fucking foot boy. Whatever I mean. Foot man.
Seacrest was?
Yeah. He's Merv's protege.
He'd let Merv jerk it on his toes?
Well, what do you think Merv was up to?
Merv was...
Okay, Ryan Seacrest is like in his 40s now. He's a mogul. He's been around for 20 years. What do you think 17-year-old Ryan Seacrest was as a talent?
Now I was dubious.
Why do you think fucking Merv would have him around?
No, I was dubious to the assertion that the Beatles were gay.
Yeah.
But Merv Griffin was like glory hole.
I believe.
Pioneer. I mean, you know.
I believe David Geffen had something to do with the career of Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
And look, David Geffen.
Look at your blind items coming out.
David Geffen.
Yeah.
Who, you know, put out some great records and certainly was a pioneer in that industry. You know. I mean, that guy's as gay as Kavanaugh is drunk. You know what I mean?
This is a more credible theory than the AV Club suggesting that Russia.
Oh, yeah. What were we going to talk about Star Wars? What the fuck?
Sorry.
To my Star Wars fans out there.
Yeah. But more credible than the suggestion that Russian bots influenced the fan reaction.
Now, how do they say Russian bots influenced fan reaction to Last Jedi?
Well, okay, so...
Wait a minute. First of all, I say we were not influenced by any Russian bots. We literally went and saw the first screening of Star Wars The Last Jedi, came back, did a show about it. It's up at jewelradio.net if you want to look for it. It's probably still on the RSS feed. You can get it on iTunes. But go ahead.
Well, and my response on the
And we nailed it in that review.
My response on the comment thread was... Yes, clearly it was the clever plot from Moscow that made us all dislike that bland sack of lukewarm potatoes named Rose Tico. Because they added all these new characters.
They did, yes.
And, okay, tell me what Finn is about.
Well, I mean, look, Finn worked in Force Awakens.
Yeah, he did, but in this one, he didn't really have much to do but run around.
I mean, look, the big problem people have with Last Jedi is Luke's story, right? I mean, isn't that it?
Well,
it's the old, it's what they did with the old characters. Not so much, look, Finn had nothing to do in this new one.
Okay.
In the last
Spoilers for a movie that's been out for a year and a half.
Yes.
Okay, the big principal problems I had with The Last Jedi is that all of their tricks didn't really do anything.
No.
When you do a trick in a movie, you know what I mean? Like, like the original Star Wars trilogy, no one knew that Vader was Luke's dad.
Yes.
That had impact.
Yes.
When they froze Han in the carbonite at the end of that had impact.
Yeah.
When, you know, when Han came back and saved the day at the end of the first Star Wars, you know, they were like, you're in it for the money. Yeah. We knew that was coming, but it was a good moment.
The death of Darth Vader, the unveiling of the mask.
Obi-Wan,
Jedi,
falling, you know, all that stuff had, all the little twists and things had impact.
Yeah.
In this, it was like, for no particular reason, Laura Dern takes over the command of the fleet for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Gives lectures to everybody about how they're stupid. Then blows herself up. And it, you know what I mean? Like, all of that was kind of just didn't serve the narrative particularly well. And if they and they instead killed off a character that everybody loved in Admiral Akbar pointlessly.
Yes.
Whereas they wanted to do that whole bit.
Yeah.
They could have used him.
They could have used in hindsight they could have used Leia because she ain't gonna be around for this next one either. But you know,
they didn't know that
because of Carrie Fisher.
But nothing. What was Leia's storyline?
Nothing.
Nothing happened.
But she could float magically in space too.
Yeah, but that didn't take us anywhere.
No, but the ship blows up and she survives.
And then we've set up this villain.
Yeah.
In the first one, that's this big bad, you know, monster.
Yeah.
And he's controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through the movie, they cut him in half. and they're like, bye bye.
See ya.
You know what I mean? Right. It just was this weird storytelling.
Yeah.
That was just kind of...
It was a mess. They gave Rian Johnson too much latitude with the story.
Yeah.
And it was a mistake. Now, look, but the argument that people would have said before was Lucasfilm has too much control of these stories, and they're going to hire these filmmakers. They should let them put their stamp on Star Wars.
Right.
But they're also hiring guys with not real long track records. I mean, J.J. does and did, but... You know, Lord and Miller didn't.
Well, that's the...
And certainly Rian Johnson didn't. So, you know, they just got fucked. I mean, it was a mistake. But I feel like when they took with Rogue One, okay, so they told Gareth Edwards, you know, hey, we're going to fix this shit. Yeah, thanks for your work. We're going to bring in this other guy, Tony Gilroy or whatever his name was. And we're going to kind of just put the final polish on this thing, do the reshoots. And Rogue One was real good. But why did Rian Johnson get a pass for his piece of garbage?
I don't know. Well, Gareth Edwards, speaking of the...
And Gareth Edwards is good, though.
I know, but he made one movie.
Well, he made Monsters and Godzilla.
But he got Godzilla from Monsters.
From Monsters. Okay, fair enough.
And Godzilla was okay.
Godzilla was fine.
I'm a diehard Godzilla fan.
Yeah, it was fine.
And I thought it was okay.
Was there a better contemporary non-Japanese Godzilla?
No, but there was only one other one.
Right.
So, you know, and none of the Japanese movies ever had a budget like that.
That's true, yeah. But it was a serviceable Godzilla.
Yeah, it was a perfectly fine Godzilla.
And don't get me wrong.
But they gave it to him after.
Looper was fine.
He made
Rian Johnson's Looper was good.
I like Looper.
Yeah, do I.
Looper's
so
actually a good movie. But given these guys, what they do is they give these guys with an artistic vision these big projects like Star Wars.
But how did...
So anyway,
we're 20 goddamn minutes later. How did the Russians influence our opinion of Last Jedi?
So it's this whole like fake news.
Is it the same thing as Trump? There was Facebook groups against it or whatever, anti-Hillary.
Well, USC did a study.
USC
and okay, in terms of the election,
there
was a lot of fake information circling around, but those people were already dumb.
Yeah.
The people that were influenced by that. So I think it's a little insulting to also... Am I saying that...
And there's so much information. No. You can't just say it's a Facebook...
I'm not discounting that the Russians tried to get somebody inside the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm.
They had connections to Manafort and what's his name? So that all seems...
Roger Stone.
Yeah, and Carter Page.
Okay, Carter Page.
So all of that about, like, did the Russians
try to... I love
that
I named three other dirtbags that you couldn't name, but...
Sure.
Fair enough.
But you know what I'm saying? Right. Well, Roger Stone, yeah. I'm just saying, if you want to pursue that angle of it, that the Russians were trying to get influence, that's probably pretty plausible, and they'll probably have some kind of evidence about that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the whole, they rigged the election by putting shit on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you had to be dumb enough to fall for...
Yeah.
People don't know what news sources are.
That is true. But some people don't.
And they don't understand what
people don't.
Like what a real link is, or if it's like, it's from uprocks.//, or...
Yes.
World Times Daily Net News.
Well, sometimes
it's not the,
they
you know
read
what I mean?
The headline and not the story.
Yeah, and they don't.
And you know what? Even in a credible source, the headline's not always accurate anyway, even if the source is accurate. You know, people write these clickbait headlines, and then when you read the story, they're not true at all. And I don't want to, I wish I could give you a better example, but, you know, I read all this. You know, I have that Google news feed, you know, that's on the Google app, and it knows what I like, so every Beatles story shows up there. A lot of wrestling stories show up there, Star Wars stories, whatever. And when I know stuff about the Beatles, I go, you know, this is not credible, this, you know, all this stuff. It's just, you know.
All right, so here's what this says.
All right.
The USC study collected all the tweets directed at Johnson's Ryan Johnson between the film's release in December and July, December 17th and July 2018.
So he's getting a lot of hate.
And
on
categorized
Twitter.
The negative ones, themselves a meager 21% minority, into three groups: politically motivated tweeters pissed off at the film's upholding of Star Wars left leaning ideals, fans who legitimately hated it, and a more nebulous collection of bots, fake accounts, and alleged Russian trolls. Bay lays out a few general accepted but loose criteria for identifying a Russian-based troll, mostly involving choice of screen name, account habits, and a tendency towards posting at certain peak hours. But admitted the study couldn't definitively state which of those accounts were Russian in origin.
What?
So they've just pulled this out of their ass.
But what, like, okay. Who's even, like, where, okay. How do these Russian bot guy farmers, like, who's paying them?
And
I mean, the only thing I can think of, it's got to be, because Corey, look, if you really hate Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
and you and I really didn't like Last Jedi, I think my review was like, if you're a Star Wars fan, see it, because there's things that Star Wars fans need to see about it.
Sure.
The movie itself isn't great, and it was a disappointment, but where do I hire a bot? My only thing is that it's got to be like a rival movie studio who's like, if we can hurt the grosses of Last Jedi, people will pay to see our fucking Fantastic Beasts or whatever.
Yeah, but
shit was in the theater.
But
I mean, that doesn't make sense either. But I don't know
why would and yeah what
then
what,
who else hires a bot?
What do you get out of trashing The Last Jedi? Really?
I mean, if you didn't like Last Jedi, then you know whatever. If you have a YouTube channel and more people click because you go, I fucking hated Last Jedi. Here's why.
All right.
Then you made some money doing that.
There are definitely, like I said, there's SJWs are stinking out. They're putting their Skittle juice in.
But that's not what they're accusing the Russians of doing.
There are a certain amount of those guys.
Yeah.
And those guys are, I think oftentimes those guys have legitimate criticisms about the movies or the comic books.
Yeah.
But they tend to get all caught up in their Trump victimization, mm-hmm. like the left is picking on me.
Yeah.
Which is all silly.
Right.
But criticizing the movie shouldn't be this thing where it's imagined or made up.
Yeah.
And this premise that people didn't like Last Jedi because it had diverse characters in it.
Yeah.
Star Wars, the Empire Strikes Back has a black guy as one of the heroes.
Yeah.
A woman is one of the heroes. A robot and a cave ape. I mean, it's like, come on. So it's either there are stupid right wing alt right guys that are making noise, and there's stupid left wing people that are like, oh, you just hate it because there's women in it. No, Rose Tico is a boring character.
She did nothing. Yeah,
take her gender or ethnicity out of it.
Yeah,
tell me about what that character's means or does. Right. She's
her sister dies and then she avenges that.
Yeah, whoopty shit. It was not done in any way that was compelling or interesting.
It was lame. Yeah.
And you know, then there's these guys though that are funny on YouTube that like really hate it. Like,
there's
an aggrieved set of Last Jedi.
And that's not us.
No, we're not campaigning against Kathleen Kennedy.
No,
and like we hate all of those.
She just got renewed, by the way.
Right.
I know a lot of people saying she was.
I know.
She got.
They all cameras. There's like these diehard Star Wars fans that love it so much. Those guys, but there's one guy called World Class Bullshitters, who just really is on an agenda about, yeah, he just hates the new Star Wars.
How did we not come up with that name?
I don't know. he did do a great video where the Star Wars toys got bought up by Ollie's, which is a discount retailer.
Oh, so the Last Jedi stuff is getting blown out.
So they clearanced out a bunch of Star Wars. And so he went to the Ollie's, and there's just stacks to the sky, pallet after pallet of unsold Star Wars toys. And I think that there's something to the Star Wars fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
And that's definitely what hurt.
It hurt. Well, look,
Solo.
Okay, let's talk about Solo, because I just picked up the Solo Blu-ray 4K set with all the trimmings and all that stuff. Okay. And really, I'm not saying Solo was great. We reviewed Solo the first night, too. So we went into Solo pretty open-minded and without any prejudice from other reviews or whatever. And I think we all thought Solo was fine for what it was, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah,
it was fine for what it was.
It wasn't unpleasant.
Yeah, it was fine. But it was also, like, truest of any of these new... You know, Disney Star Wars movies. And this is the fourth of them. It was truest probably to the original trilogy of any of them. I mean, you could say Rogue One, you know, had more characters and more tie-ins in that sense. But the feel of it in terms of the tone, because the tone of Rogue One was so dark, that the tone of Solo felt more like the tone of A New Hope than those other movies did. And certainly more than Lucas's prequel trilogy did. And so for a lot of the purists... They should have really liked Solo. And maybe they really did like Solo. But I think that is... I do think every sequel is on some way... the results of that, you know, the success of it, the popularity of it, is, you know, a review of the movie that came before it. And in this case, Solo coming 6 months after Last Jedi, which a lot of people didn't like, hurt Solo's box office.
They overworked the market.
Yeah.
No one was clamoring for a Star Wars movie 6 months after the last one.
Yeah.
And so they learned a lesson on that, and they're going to slow down. But they were on that schedule because they had Rogue One.
Well, they were on an annual schedule. Force Awakens, a year later, Rogue One, year later, Last Jedi, and then 6 months later.
But then they were announcing, you know, Ponda Baba's getting a Solo movie and all this.
Yeah, they did all that stuff. Game of Thrones guys are doing a trilogy.
I think they're going to pump the brakes on some of that
a little
bit. Because there is just, it's once you put a movie series or an artistic endeavor... Look, when you put a band on a contract and you go, you need to give us this many albums.
Yeah.
They're going to put shit out a couple.
That's true. I mean, not
we all, did a whole. Remember, we did a great episode with John Tenney about contractual obligation.
Yes.
Where, you know what I mean? Where it's like, the Beatles put out, 11 albums and like.
Well, the white album was their contractual obligation.
Okay, but. What's Beatles for Sale is kind of the weakest Beatles.
Yes, that was a contract. They were doing two albums a year,
and they
and
were
six
like
singles.
We
got to
crank
it.
And the Beach Boys would like put a bunch of filler. They'd have like three good singles.
It was Rubber Soul was made in 2 weeks, I think. The one that was done under crunch.
And Rubber Soul's genius.
Yes, and ended up being genius.
And Beatles for Sale is kind of
Beatles for Sale was where they did a bunch of covers
out,
and stuff. Yeah.
So
by the way, Beatles for Sale. Still better than most
it's a great
of the
record,
albums
but
from those, yeah.
By Beatles standards, is weaker.
It's probably the weakest Beatles long-playing album,
Anyway, it's just, that's what happens when you put, like, you put a financial timetable on something, you put it on a, like, shareholder's calendar.
Right.
That's where we're going to need a super...
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, Superman Returns. Here's a great example.
Superman Returns.
You know, I love comic books.
Yes.
And I love the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Yeah.
And that was a... blazing homage to the Christopher Reeves. It was like a love letter to the Richard Donner movies, and it was like we want to enshrine those in the canon, and it sucked to high... It stunk to high heaven. It sucked 500 Kryptonian dongs in one mouthful. It was really a horror. I did not... Like, I had a much stronger reaction to Superman Returns.
Yeah, Superman Returns sucked. I mean,
Last Jedi.
I think we reviewed that when it came out. I think
hated
we did this
that.
Podcast
and if
ago.
You want to talk about, like, childhood affection for Superman and cartoons and all that stuff, I loved Superman, hated Superman Returns.
But
did I hate Superman Returns because they had, first of all, that didn't have any diversity in it. But did I hate it because... Bryan Singer, a gay man, made it?
No, fuck yourself.
I hated it because it sucked.
Right.
Equality, real equality means evaluating artistic works, actors, characters, independent of the genre or the gender. Mm-hmm. And so like Brie Larson said that, you know, white guys didn't like A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
Because it was about black girls.
By the way, you can get that on Netflix now.
But nobody liked A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
I told you A Wrinkle in Time looked like a piece of shit when I saw the trailer.
It looks so bad.
I sniffed a bad...
Yes.
You know, doing this for a long time,
no,
I can sniff a disaster when I see it.
Smelled that one coming from a mile away, yeah.
And it was that nobody liked A Wrinkle in Time because it was a pretentious, foppish piece of shit.
Yeah.
And... There are certain guys that are going to hate things because they got a woman or a gay character.
Right, but that one just sucked.
But that doesn't mean anytime someone doesn't like something that isn't about white men.
Yeah.
Like I said, I hate Kevin James. Don't put him in a movie. There's a white man that I can't stand.
Yeah.
Like James Corden.
But yeah,
not a whiter man on earth.
You don't really want to watch a Kevin Hart movie, but not because Kevin Hart's black.
No, because they're terrible.
Yeah, exactly. But same way with Kevin James, you know.
But I liked Black Klansman.
Okay.
There's a Spike Lee joint that you can't get a more politically charged act, but I thought it was an entertaining movie.
Right, yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So the Russians.
Russians.
But that's bullshit.
It's such nonsense.
The Last Jedi is not good. Just isn't. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
I mean, is it just that people go, people are bashing Star Wars, so we'll make a tweet and try to get clicks on it? I don't know whatever.
All right.
Well,
let me hit you with a couple things here, Corey.
Speaking of old white people nobody likes, how about Chevy Chase?
Well, do you want to get into that, or I got stuff? Yeah, but we can go into okay, so Chevy Chase has been on... Is it fair to call it a Chevy Chase media blitz, or two appearances by Chevy Chase constitutes a media blitz in 2018. So there was a big Washington Post article about Chevy Chase, and there's a video that the reporter went and shot at Chevy Chase's house, which, God, he comes off as such a douche in this. And I want to root for Chevy. And the whole point of this Washington Post article is that, you know, hey, Chevy Chase, he was so great, and doesn't he deserve another chance? I mean, it seemed like that was sort of the intent of the article. But then you read it, and Chevy's just bashing SNL and just saying all kind of nonsense. And then he does...
Oh, yeah.
Norm MacDonald has a Netflix show now.
Yes.
It's actually called Norm MacDonald Has a Show. I think it's based on his YouTube show, but I think that was based on his podcast as well, right?
Norm had a podcast and a YouTube show, which are basically the same as this Netflix show.
Right. And by the way, they got rid of all the YouTube shows. I mean, officially. The Norm MacDonald YouTube channel is empty.
Well, I'm sure it's...
So,
which sucks, because those were...
Yeah, I know. Those were great shows.
He had Jim Carrey was on. That was great.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey. We can talk about him, too.
Well, if you want to talk about Jim Carrey, but we want to talk about Chevy.
So, Chevy.
Chevy's now, on Norm's
why,
show on
why
Netflix.
Would this sudden Chevy media blitz? Is he doing something?
I don't know. I think he's probably looking for work. I think he's putting himself out there to say, hey, put me in something. But nothing he's done has made it seem like anybody would want Chevy for anything.
McCartney put out an album, which, you know, McCartney puts out an album every year and a half anyway. So that suddenly there's a Paul McCartney renaissance.
Okay.
And James Corden's hauling him around Liverpool.
Yeah.
And singing in cars. And you get that. But Chevy, just some guy wrote an article about, like, hey, what happened to Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
And that's why there's a Chevy media blitz?
I guess, I think Chevy's probably made himself available. He probably thinks he's probably like, hey, if I can just be myself in front of the cameras, people will want to hire me. And he was himself in front of the cameras, and everyone hates his fucking guts. So, I don't know what the guy's doing. I mean, this fucking guy, he's putting down SNL. Now, look, and I'm not even saying SNL's good, but you can't... Part of me is like, modern SNL blows and old SNL is great. Because a lot of old SNL fucking blows chunks. But in its day, it was groundbreaking and it was dangerous in a way that current SNL can never be.
Right.
And therefore, it is important in a way that modern SNL cannot be. But Chevy's point is like, we were really funny and these fucking shows aren't. And that does not hold water with me as an argument.
Inarguable argument that Chevy has is that they were the first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he was on the first season of SNL.
Yeah, and he deserves a lot of credit for the success
of
that season.
He was on,
like,
the first year and a half
of
SNL.
He was good.
And so he wins the Pioneer Award.
Yeah.
No one can ever take the Pioneer Award away from him. And the show...
He was the first man in space.
Yes.
John Glenn orbited the Earth or whatever he did.
Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard, whoever.
Well, or what was the cosmonaut? Anyway. Who was the actual... Gagarin was the first
Gagarin.
Man. But... Yeah, so Chevy, you can't argue that. You're right. The impact of the first ones,
right?
You can't beat that. But he's like, it's the worst fucking humor in the world.
Yeah,
he's just bashing shit. And this is the man who made Cops and Robbersons.
Yeah.
I mean, Chevy served up one stink fest after another.
He did. And there's great Chevy movies, too. I'm not even putting down Chevy's movies.
No, I love Vacation.
Vacation's fantastic.
The first Vacation.
Fletch.
Christmas Vacation's okay.
The European one and the Christmas ones are fine, but yes.
The original Vacation.
The original one is awesome. That's a great movie.
I mean, you know.
It is a John Hughes joint, and it's real funny.
You know, Chevy Chase turned down Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
He turned down.
Harold Ramis directed Vacation, but I think John Hughes wrote it. But anyway. It's based upon an article by John Hughes about his family vacation.
Yes.
Yes.
He contributed to the screenplay.
Yes, okay, sure.
But I mean, Chevy, just shut up.
Yeah, just shut up.
Well, okay, so then Pete Davidson got on Chevy's case.
Yeah.
Now, Pete Davidson is if David Spade and Jimmy Fallon had an ugly baby. He's a comedian who is good in update bits.
Yeah.
But couldn't, like, stay...
The new Andy Samberg.
Yeah, except Andy Samberg writes songs and does
shit. Yeah, I know, that's the problem.
Like, Pete Davidson doesn't do control.
I hate Andy Samberg, but he's not even as good as him.
Pete Davidson hasn't even made one character or done any, you know what I mean? Like, and then his character on Update is Pete Davidson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he comes on and goes, does basically a little stand-up bit.
Appearing soon at a Juggalo gathering near you.
Oh, yeah.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
He'll bringing him on stage.
He'll be at Penguins in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So, I mean, we laugh at that, but I'll go back to Penguins if anybody wants me. Anyway, so Pete Davidson, but he's a mediocre SNL cast member, if there ever was one.
Yeah.
But he goes, he went on Stern and said to Chevy, he's a fucking douchebag. I hate that dude. He's just a generally bad racist person, and I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's a putz. I don't like him. Now, that's not an unusual opinion.
No.
Because I have a book over here.
Oh, yeah.
Called Live from New York.
Yes, I've read that.
That's about 300 pages.
Yes.
150 of those pages are about what an asshole Chevy is.
I believe I actually read your physical book, a copy.
Yeah.
I believe you loaned it to me.
It's like...
Back in the day.
You know... There's a consistent theme in that book.
Well, but there's also the thing where Pete probably, and look, Pete Davidson's on all kind of drugs and he's banging Ariana Grande and he's kind of a loose cannon, but you got to believe that somewhere in the SNL office, Lauren's like, yeah, you can bag on Chevy all you want. Like, it's fair game. Chevy's fair game. We don't like him. He's persona non grata.
Yeah.
And they put him on SNL 40 and he fucked up there and he sucked there.
Yeah.
And they put him on Community and Dan Harmon, who's a huge asshole apparently.
Yeah, yes.
Dan Harmon couldn't deal with his stupid ass.
I mean, I even like, I liked Community initially. The first couple years I liked, and I think Dan Harmon's a talented guy. But by all accounts, he's a raging drunk asshole.
Yes, Dan Harmon is not
by most accounts, I mean, you know, I could call.
Yes.
We have mutual friends that know Dan Harmon. We could call.
And look, no one's ever said anything bad about Dan Harmon to me, but I've read reports about Dan Harmon.
And by the way, I don't. Being a temperamental artist is like not an unusual thing.
No, that's what I mean. Dan Harmon is Dan Harmon's going to Dan Harmon.
We got to meet Greg Giraldo a couple times.
Yes,
and Greg was Lord Almighty the funniest guy I ever saw.
Yeah.
I watched his stand up with my jaw on the floor.
Yeah,
it was an honor to be around him and watch him work.
Yeah.
And then he was buzzed up.
Yeah,
he was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, he was,
and he was not a great guy when he was using. So. That's not unusual to know creative people that are fucking jerks. But Chevy's been a jerk for 45 years.
You can't root for about Gallagher.
Right.
I liked Gallagher when I was a kid.
Oh.
And I got to work with Gallagher.
And Chevy got in a fight on The Tonight Show.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It was the greatest thing.
You've seen this?
Yes.
Ooh.
I wish I could.
Okay, we'll find the clip.
Well, they rerun those.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's been captured by somebody.
And Chevy and Gallagher went at it all night on
about what?
Just about how Chevy's like, this is it. You do with the bits and the props. You come out. With the, and he's like.
Chevy just fell down.
What, oh, yeah. And Gallagher's like, I'm waiting for your hilarious stand-up set. And they just fucking went at each other. Jeez. And it was like Frankenstein and the Wolfman. And you're just waiting for the castle to burn down.
Yeah.
It was amazing. You're like, look,
I mean,
at
Gallagher.
These two giant assholes combating each other.
I'm not saying Gallagher. Well, yeah. How do I put this? I mean, look. Chevy was once talented, and I think was
handsome.
But yeah, that's part of it. But I think he was also unaware of what made him good, and that he was sort of the bumbling everyman that you rooted for. And then he kind of became like a superstar in a way that kind of doesn't work.
Chevy always saw himself as this hunky, in control, wasp. And
right.
You're right. His best roles is Clark Griswold.
Yeah, but I think he tried to be. I don't know. Elliot Gould kind of had that same fate, right?
Elliot Gould's also an asshole,
right? But Elliot Gould's sort of character as being sort of the outsider or whatever, the renegade, worked for him. But as the leading man, as the guy you're supposed to be, the guy leading the charge, the guy solving the crime and getting the girl. Doesn't really work for Elliot Gould.
No.
And it doesn't really work for Chevy.
It did for a time in the 70s.
Yeah.
Elliot Gould was the star of the... I love The Long Goodbye,
which is
his Altman, Philip Marlowe movie.
Which is
a deconstructionist detective movie.
It's a modern bogey kind of.
Yes. Movie. And Elliot Gould is great in that because he plays kind of this cynical jerk who kind of makes fun of everything as the detective.
Yeah.
But... gets pushed around by everybody, but at the end you realize he was the cool guy all along and knew what was going on.
But
Elliot Gould, jerk as well.
Yeah.
In every interview.
Yeah.
He bad in interviews.
Is this arrogance, I guess? Is it just...
Yeah.
I also think when you become... Here's
but Elliot
my, here's
Gould
like,
was the biggest movie star at a period in the 70s.
I have a theory.
He was one of the biggest stars, and so was
Chevy. I have a theory that when you become a star... you're under the thumb of Harold Ramis, Lorne Michaels. Elliot Gould is working with Altman. He's working with whoever he's working with in the 70s. Mm. That you're taking direction from these people. Stuff is being written for you that's brilliant. And then you think you start to know what you're doing. And you're thinking that the reason that Altman movie was great is because I was in it, not because it was Altman's doing.
Right.
So then you go say, I don't need to work with Altman and his ego. I'll go work with this other guy. And I know what makes a great movie. So then you go work with these new directors, these rookie directors.
And you're not
going to listen to them because you're the superstar and they're right out of film school.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you know what you're doing and you're not taking direction.
Like Chevy did the same thing.
And you don't want to do 30 takes and you don't want to spend the time in the makeup chair and you don't want to rehearse. And you throw your ego around. You don't want to work. Basically, you don't want to work as hard for those rewards at that point. And when you don't, then the product's not as good because you didn't work as hard. That's what I think it is. And yeah, does it come from ego? Does it come from having a shitty personality and being an asshole? Absolutely. But I think it ultimately comes down to if you put your work in, you can be a raging asshole as an actor, but some of those raging assholes really do spend a lot of time rehearsing and learning their lines and working with the other actors.
We see this in comedy.
Yeah.
We see guys that have a lot of talent, but don't have a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them. And, and then we see guys that have discipline and no talent.
Absolutely.
Which is the reverse.
Oh, but, my God. There's a guy that works every week that I'm like... I wouldn't give him 10 cents to do comedy.
I'm thinking of three now.
All right, but whatever.
I mean, sure. These are the roles Chevy turned down.
Yeah.
This is to show you. Chevy's colossal arrogance.
Everybody's got a list of shit they turned down, but fine.
Otter in Animal House.
Okay, yeah.
Good one. American Gigolo. Turn that one down for Richard.
But, I mean, that wouldn't have been good anyway.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't think Chevy turned this down.
I always heard that was Tom Selleck.
That
they really wanted for that.
I
was
can't
Tom,
imagine he turned
Tom Selleck, and Tom Selleck had to do Magnum PI, and
Splash.
Okay,
now I could totally see Chevy in Splash.
Absolutely.
And by the way, dumb move to turn that.
Tom Hanks became a star.
But although, here's what Chevy goes.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm in a movie with a fucking mermaid.
What's a fish? I'm fucking a fish. Is that how this goes?
I could see Chevy thinking that was stupid. Chevy, the man who did Land Shark on SNL, thinking a fish movie was too silly.
Well,
but that made Tom Hanks' career.
Yeah.
The Fabulous Baker Boys.
Okay.
There's just a litany of things.
Well, you know, he plays piano. He would have been at kind of a...
It sounds like he turned down a lot of Tom Hanks' parts.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Which I hate the movie Forrest Gump,
93, but really?
Was a huge hit.
93. I don't know if he would have been...
Okay, allegedly he turned down The Player, speaking of Altman.
The Tim Robbins role in The Player?
Yeah. Which you could by the way, Chevy, who would have played a smug asshole better than Chevy?
I hear what you're saying.
Anyway, he turned down a million parts.
Okay, but here's why you're turning down The Player. Altman doesn't have any money.
He turned down Toy Story.
As what?
Buzz.
Tim Allen.
He couldn't even do a cartoon voice. Anyway. Oh, boy. So there you go. American Beauty.
It's a litany
of missed opportunities for Chevy. So I guess that would make it better. I don't know. That Norm interview is pretty compelling.
Well, Norm's show is fantastic. We love Norm. I've only seen that episode, but based upon the YouTube shows.
Well,
and I've heard the other shows on there.
I don't know about fantastic, but it's
Norm's great. I'm not talking about Norm. I'm not talking about the show.
Norm's unique.
Norm's awesome. We love Norm.
Norm's an authentic weirdo.
Yes.
And he'll go down these digressions about like TV from Canada in the 50s.
Yeah.
That I can follow, but I'm sure a lot of people think he's talking like a guy in the cafeteria line dribbling into his soup. And I just go, there was a fella in Vancouver Rory Calhoun told us.
So those are
compelling, but the one with him and Chevy is pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Chevy just mad and bittered at the whole world.
Right.
Because he's old and not famous anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're all going to end up...
Yeah, it was good, but...
Here's the thing. In some level, you look and go, we're going to all end up like Chevy Chase. But on the other hand...
You could say we already are.
Well, I would take all of the millions of dollars that Chevy Chase did make, despite the hundreds of millions he left on the table by turning down movies like Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Or movies like The Player, which would have given him artistic credibility and whatever. Anyway... just Chevy's endlessly fascinating.
Yes.
He is the guy in that book. He is in the Live from New York book by Tom Shales and James Andrew Miller.
Yes.
There's page after page of stories of Chevy Chase's bad behavior.
Yes.
And my favorite being the one where Terry Sweeney, the first openly gay cast member, who used to play Nancy Reagan, this was like 1986, Chevy came in to guest host. And he goes, hey, you're the gay guy, right? I got a bit for you. Here's what we do.
Yeah.
Every week we wheel out a scale.
Yes.
And we weigh you to see if you're losing weight from the HIV.
That's great. I mean, but I mean, how much coke did Chevy do to come up with that idea?
But the thing is, if he thought he was being cute with that.
I'm not excusing him. It's awful.
No one's going to take his point on that, right?
Yeah.
Even if he thought he was being cute with that bit, it was just something said to be hostile.
Well, I want Bill Murray to call up Pete Davidson and say, yeah, you know how you ate Chevy? You're stealing my bit. I've been doing that shit since 1976.
The other favorite quote in there is after Bill and Chevy had a fist fight.
Yeah, they did have a fist fight. Because Chevy came back to guest host.
Chevy left the
show. Chevy was a big movie star, but he would come and guest host SNL once a year.
And then in like the third year, he came back to guest host. So the original cast was also there. And
Murray replaced him.
Yeah. And then
Murray became a real big star.
I think like Jane and Gilda and some of them that were mad at Chevy talked Bill into fighting him. Or got him, you know what I mean? Got him mad. They
revved up Bill.
This asshole Chevy's coming back. So Bill, being the Chicago street thug that he was, started swinging punches at Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're pulling him away, dragging him down the hallway, Bill goes, medium talent.
That's a great line. Medium talent.
All right. Chevy. Well, we've now been reminiscing about comedy from 50 years ago.
You want to talk about stuff that's on now?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's talk about Zero.
God Friended Me on CBS?
No, but I haven't seen that.
That was on the other night.
Aye, aye, aye.
Why is that a genre?
Oh, like a
it's like regular
faith television.
Regular faith, guy gets
faith based entertainment.
This is a like a long running theme though.
Yeah.
It's like regular guy gets a letter from God in the mailbox.
I got a letter from God that said you suck.
Yeah.
That's a,
well, there was,
you should quit comedy. That's a sign God.
And you know what?
No stamp, Corey. No stamp. They just brought it right over.
You heeded God's advice. And now you just teach comedy. There's like, we got Oh God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think God sent that heckler to me on my show on Friday night.
Oh, you had a heckler Friday?
So I'm up there and I'm doing a Walmart bit, which, you know, God knows. God knows that's innovative.
Bill Murray just texted me about your bit. No, go ahead. Keep going.
Every comic's got a Walmart bit, right?
Yes.
And so I'm up there doing my Walmart bit, and this woman goes,
"Yes."
She and the room was not full enough. Like if the room is, if every seat is sold out,
right?
Then you can just ignore.
That's a small room, and any voice will get noticed.
Full. It's only 100 and some people.
Yeah.
Right. And we were not full.
No.
We were half full.
Yeah.
And so this woman goes, and she's, there's nobody else at her table.
Yeah.
And she goes, where's the money go?
About Walmart?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, one, it was a non sequitur. That I'm like,
so she's got a problem with the Sam Walton family.
I'm up there doing a
minimum
bit.
Wage for Walmart workers.
I'm up there doing a bit about how people in Walmart look trashy. Right, that's literally the core of my bit. Is like,
that is your bit?
How there's fat people in Walmart.
Yeah,
and it's, I'm not saying it's an innovative piece.
No, but
it whatever.
It's not inaccurate.
It's 3 minutes of the set. Yeah, and she's like, "Where's the money go?" And I'm like, well, you want to talk about the geopolitical angles of why Walmart's not paying their workers and union badges. Like, what are you fucking trying to, like,
Jesus
she just
Christ.
Like, and then she just kept hollering and they dragged her out.
Yeah.
But yeah, then God sent her. Anyway, God friended me.
God, which, I don't know what that is.
Well, this, here's the plot.
Jeez.
What's the kid? Mark. Oh, it was so bad.
I'm not watching it. But
no,
you can tell me. You can tell us about it.
This was like,
I mean, the title alone is going to have me not watch it, but
it's horrific. So Brandon Michael Hall. Okay. In every romantic comedy,
yeah,
women only can work at like a fashion magazine. Do you know what I mean? Like
an advertising agency.
Right, it's like Reese Witherspoon is working in a, or what, you know what I mean? Like insert.
Well, that's that movie I talked about last time. The what's the guy's name? Paul Feig's new movie. A Simple Favor.
Oh, yeah.
She, you know.
Right, it's like,
it's a mommy meets a girl from a fashion house. You know, Blake Lively works in a fashion house.
It's like they're an investigative journalist.
Yeah.
Or they work at a fashion magazine.
Yeah.
Or a clothing designer.
Yeah, she's cheap.
And it's all, and they all like live in Manhattan, but Anne Hathaway can't catch a dick.
A Simple Favor was not a bad movie, but yeah, it had all of those.
Well, okay, in this, now the new thing on TV.
Well, that's the next thing I'm going to talk about, that. A girl works in advertising.
Okay, new job, though, on TV that like they think that the olds are going to think is cool.
Yeah.
Because they've already lying to them about how forensics works.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When they're like, you know,
enhance.
And they're just, the camera's going 360 degrees and like, you know. They're just lying to them about how police work works.
Yeah.
Now, or, you know, cyber crime.
Yeah.
They're scaring them about that. This is the podcasts are a thing now.
Oh, he's a podcaster.
Like when CBS does a show about a guy who's got a podcast.
If you love your heroes, don't turn around. If you love your heroes, don't turn around. Oh. If you love your heroes, don't turn around. He's turning it off. Eric Idle is on GMA Day with Michael Strahan. Corey hit the record button on the DVR to get
Eric
to hear the Eric Idle segment on.
Eric Idle is eating Spam. Because these dumb bastards for a stunt brought out Spam for Eric. You know who I'd like to see on this show? John Cleese.
I'm sure he's on next week.
But John Cleese will come on.
Eric Idle wrote a book, and he's talking about his book. I don't know, something to do with Empire Strikes Back, and I don't know what.
Did you know Eric Idle was C-3PO?
Was he
not many people know that he was inside the suit.
Maybe he's telling him that. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, but look, Eric Idle, more compelling than anything else that would ever be.
No, I mean, Idle's...
Right, you go...
85-year-old Eric Idle is better than...
When a fucking python comes...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. Oh, John Cleese, by the way.
Yeah.
Another kind of cranky guy, right?
Yes.
But people don't call John Cleese an asshole.
No.
Because he's good.
Yeah.
Because John Cleese is always...
Well, Steve Martin's the same age as Chevy.
Okay. Not that everything John Cleese has done has been perfect.
Right.
But he's funny.
Right.
And he's got, like, you know, Monty Python, Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which everybody thinks is one of the great sitcoms of all time. Yeah. Fish Called Wanda. Yeah. Like, he's got enough classic great things, and he's also legitimately, like, a funny...
Right, yeah.
If you read his Twitter feed...
Yeah.
So we went and saw John Cleese live.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he shit on all the other Pythons.
Okay.
About, like, how boring Eric Palin's road...
Eric Idle or Michael Palin?
No, Michael Palin.
Michael Palin, around the world in 80 days, like, and all that stuff.
And then Palin gets on another train, and I've dozed off. You know... And he's goofing on how boring those are. And he talks about, he broke down what a shitty director Terry Gilliam is.
Oh, God.
And, like, literally broke down a clip from
Meaning of Life?
No, from the Camelot one. From
Holy Grail. Yeah.
Holy Grail. And then he recut it to make it faster.
Yeah.
And it was, like, hilarious. And John Cleese gets away with being an asshole because he's funny.
Yeah,
and
Eric, that's true.
And,
yeah.
I bet Eric Idle is more entertaining than anything that's ever going to come out of fucking...
we won't know because we're not seeing
Michael
this.
Strahan.
By the way, we should never podcast with the television on. This is so distracting.
I know. He does look old.
He does look old.
Anyway, but another guy that was...
You know, Eric Idle hangs out with McCartney now.
Yeah.
Which is funny because he was McCartney in the Ruddles.
Right. Well, he was friends with George.
He was. But I mean, like, you see Eric Idle. It's like, Eric Idle was making fun of
him. That's another thing. Chevy said George...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, was the least funny Beatle.
I saw that on Norm's show, yes.
By the way, that's a shot that means nothing. Like,
right? They were all funny.
They were all funny.
They were all funny.
First of all, they weren't known as a comedy outfit.
They were
musicians that were funny.
Right, yeah,
and
they had a northern sensibility about.
And George is funny.
Yeah, George is.
That's
funny.
An inaccurate statement.
Yes. Anyway,
God friended me.
So God damn it! Would you stop talking
about
this?
So he's a podcaster.
He's a podcaster.
Right.
Well, isn't the guy from Scrubs a podcaster?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that show?
Yeah, that show.
See, that was a summer replacement show, I think.
It was crazy. I do
Topher
these.
Grace. No, it's not Topher Grace. It's the other guy. Who is the podcaster?
Yeah, I do.
What's
like
that actor's name?
That is the you're talking about the wonderful Scrubs.
Yeah.
That is the wonderful
Garden
Zach
State.
Braff.
Zach Braff. Jesus Christ. Get off my.
He
television.
Had a show where he's like. He had a brilliant idea. He had an innovative idea.
Yeah.
He's going to quit his boring job at NPR.
Yeah.
And do his own podcast.
Oh, my God.
But he's got kids. And a...
Oh, God.
They think they canceled it already.
Yes.
Anyway, I saw a preview of that I was doing a survey online. I'll do these, like, little surveys.
And they want you to watch the clip. And then,
yeah, and you know what? Sometimes I think that stuff's fun because they'll, like...
Okay.
So I'll do ones that'll be like, look at these ads for... Chevy or whatever, and you rate the ads.
Yes.
And then I get Amazon cards.
Yes.
So
you can get $5 off your next Panera Bread if you watch Zach Braff's.
Many of these Blu-rays were purchased with Amazon cards and stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, I lost the point, but God friended me was so terrible.
God friended me.
So God, like he's like, gets his Facebook message from God. And like the icon of the...
The season finale. It's a Russian bot.
God, right. God's icon.
Why is my pitch funnier than the actual
It's
show?
Great.
Yeah.
God's icon is a cloud.
Okay.
And then he looks up and the exact same cloud is above him.
Oh my goodness.
And he's like, hmm. And then God suggests a friend to him.
Yeah.
And then the guy runs in front of him and jumps in front of a train and he stops the guy.
Oh.
And he's like, wait, you're John Phillips? God just told me to like you or whatever, you know what I mean? And like that's the fucking gimmick is that it's God's gonna send him friend requests and then he's gonna get involved and solve these people's personal problems. That's the premise of this fucking show.
I wrote a treatment where a guy and remember this is back in the late 90s, but a guy was downloading songs from Napster and it was God's voice that came over the MP3, Corey.
Now before you download.
He was trying to download Beck's new single. And the next thing you know.
That's right. Don't download Tragic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But first.
Trying to get.
Look. Instead of downloading this Seven Mary 3 album.
Yeah.
I want you to go out.
That's exactly what happened.
My. But there's always a, there was Oh God. With John Denver.
Yeah.
Is the kind of the classic of the, although there was, you know what was before that? It was Guardian Angels.
Well, there's Guardian, yeah. Like, what was Heaven Can Wait and all that stuff? Yeah.
There's a Twilight Zone episode. There's a couple.
What's the one where James Caan is the, is that the goodbye girl? No, what is he? He comes down and he's the dead husband. And he helps the wife find a new love.
Oh, really? I don't know.
Yeah, that's like another one.
Well, there used to be ghosts like Topper.
But before that,
in the 50s and 60s, it was always Guardian Angels.
Guardian Angels, yeah.
And they would do the thing where, you know, there's a couple Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah.
Where there's Guardian Angels. Right. And I think a couple of them were intended as pilots.
Well, it's Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one with Carol Burnett. Twilight Zone with Carol Burnett.
Ooh.
That's like a pilot. Like, they basically tried to shoot a pilot, and then they just slammed it into the Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
You know, a backdoor pilot.
A late season.
Yeah. And then there's one with Orson Bean.
Okay, yeah, I've seen Orson Bean.
Where he's a wacky eccentric.
Yeah.
And then the Guardian Angel says, what if you were a cool guy with a fast sports car instead of a jalopy and you were on the fast track to business success, and he hates it, and he goes back to being a weirdo that wears twill suits and, you know, anyway. Oh, I lost, but God friended me.
God friended me. Who cares?
Piece of shit. All right.
I want to talk about, so in this series, this is a movie. This is a Netflix original movie.
Yeah.
The hallmark of quality. No pun intended with hallmark movies. But Netflix is getting there, isn't it?
Are they gonna? Those are my favorite. Is it Hallmark that has all of the like '90s family sitcom actresses solving mysteries now?
Oh, well, they're either solving mysteries or they're falling in love around the holidays.
Well, those I propose
those could be on Lifetime, but okay. Hallmark is.
I propose right now that we do those when those come out.
The Hallmark movies of the week.
Well, we watched one with Mira Sorvino.
Oh, Jesus!
Called A Christmas to Remember, where Mira Sorvino is a. She's a Martha Stewart-style TV food host who gets in a car accident and winds up in a town in Vermont and she doesn't know where she is and ends up living with this guy and fucking him.
You know, I'm in
amnesia.
I'm in one of those movies.
Are you really?
I was an extra on... Kelly Martin did one in Detroit?
Yes!
I think that's who it was. Kelly Martin. And it was about, like... It was about kissing a prince, or it was a modern take on kissing a frog and becoming a prince.
Were you the frog?
But no, I was an extra who walked by the old shillelagh.
Oh,
while somebody was in there ordering a drink, she wasn't even on the set.
Is this when? Oh, back when we had a film incentive.
Yeah, this was back in the film incentive day, so like 2000.
Yeah, you know,
7 or something.
Hey, by the way, the governor candidate
2010.
Gretchen Whitmer should run on that.
Well, some people would like that.
She should be like, hey, did you know they didn't even shoot White Boy Rick here?
Yeah, they didn't shoot White Boy Rick.
There's like movies that are set in Detroit and not shot here.
Well, they'll shoot like B-roll without actors and stuff here.
It's funny you should mention Kelly Martin.
I think she was in that movie. I mean, you'd have to look up her IMDb.
I never saw
the movie.
So Hallmark's got all these, they're like...
What was Kelly Martin's movie?
Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah, Candace Cameron Bure.
In Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries. And there's like, they're so great. There's like, they're all like
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin.
Yeah, Lori Loughlin.
They're all Candace Cameron Bure, Lori Loughlin. There's
Kelly Martin.
Yeah, one of them's like, I'm sure that, what's her name? Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Oh, Melissa Joan Hart.
I'm sure Melissa Joan Hart's going to be solving murders in a minute.
Did any of the 90210, did the 90210 girls ever do anything?
Ooh, they might be too old by now.
Yeah.
I love the ones that were like...
Who's the blonde from 90210?
Oh, right.
She's not likable, though. She's a little cold.
No, they're all...
A little steely.
Shannon Doherty's a hot mess.
They're
all train wrecks.
Right.
And I think
Melissa Milano's been in Hallmark movies.
Oh, she's... Okay, well... Kelly Martin's, what has her...
Oh, my God.
She's
Kelly
got
Martin
one.
Movie.
She's got a new series on Hallmark.
You know,
she's like the top star on Hallmark.
Well, they're really doing, Hallmark's doing really like the NBC.
She's the Jennifer Lawrence of Hallmark.
Well, in the 70s, there was the NBC mystery movie or the Sunday.
Like the rotating.
The Sunday mystery movie, right? So you'd
every
get
6 weeks.
You'd get McCloud, and then you'd get McMillan and Wife, and then you'd get Columbo.
Yeah, Columbo was one of those. Yeah.
Though, that's why there's not as many Columbos, but they would be an hour and a half or whatever. So that's what they're doing on Hallmark.
Okay.
And it's the Haley Dean mysteries.
And that's Kelly Martin's Haley Dean?
Haley Dean is
Haley
Kelly
Dean.
Martin. I don't know what her gimmick is, but I swear to Christ, one of them is the book club murders. And then there's the chocolate chip cookie mysteries.
Oh, of course.
I'm not fucking kidding. I think Lori Loughlin is the garage sale mystery detective, where she goes to garage sales and finds murder weapons. Just like amazing.
Lori Loughlin is the detective in yoga pants. Yeah. God damn it.
The Lululemon murders. Let's do it.
I'm imagining what I'm going to do with my fortune, Corey.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that too soon?
The detective wore yoga pants with Lori Loughlin.
The Haagen-Dazs mysteries with
Jodie Sweetin in The Soul Cycle Killers.
Oh, God. Awful shit.
So terrible.
Speaking of awful shit, I swear this is awful. But in this feature film, again, a Netflix movie, like I said, rapidly becoming the Hallmark of movies is Netflix. Actually, the other Netflix thing I'm going to talk about is cool. But anyway, the woman in this is an advertising executive, Corey. But she's very, very busy, Corey. She can't get away from her phone. So in the opening scene, she's at her wedding, Corey. And she's taking a phone call as they're playing Here Comes the Bride.
Yeah.
And she can't get off the phone, so she throws her phone into her flowers. So into her, what do you call it? Not a corsage, but, you know, a bouquet of flowers she's carrying down. And as she's walking down with this bouquet of flowers, what are we looking at? Okay, fuck that, by the way. Get rid of that. But so as she's walking down with her bouquet of flowers, as she stands there in front of her husband, and the pastor is saying, will you take this man to be... The phone falls out of her bouquet of flowers. The husband-to-be says, I can't believe you can't keep away from your phone for one day. We talked about this. And storms out of the church. She is left husbandless at the altar, Corey, where then her alcoholic, degenerate father, who doesn't talk to her, says, hey, let's go out and get drunk. And then they end up on a cruise ship together, which was supposed to be their honeymoon. This actress is number one with a vagina, with vaginas everywhere. Kristen Bell, the alcoholic father, played by Frasier himself, Kelsey Grammer,
Huntington Woods' own,
like father on Netflix.
Annie
one
Kristen
of the worst
Bell.
Movies I've ever seen. It's goddamn piece of
Kelsey
shit.
Is Kelsey Grammer a deal breaker at this point?
He's not what he should be, and
he's
I don't know
pretty bad
what I don't in, know like, what. I don't know why Kelsey Grammer. My feeling is Kelsey Grammer doesn't play on the big screen because he's too exaggerated. Like, there's something about, like, the sitcom format kind of works for him.
There's, like, no reason Kelsey Grammer couldn't be, like, a bad guy in a Jack Ryan movie or the boss of
They put him in X-Men as, like, a kind of a creature.
Well, he was Beast. Yeah, in X-Men.
But
which,
I mean,
that was the last good role.
But he's kind of like a 60s thing. He's almost like a Frank Fields or something, right?
He's in the shittiest.
He's kind of got that Jack Benny show kind of thing going.
He's in the
him.
Shittiest movies.
No. This Like Father's awful.
Prior to Like Father, he was in Trollhunters Tales of Arcadia.
Yeah.
He was in Seven Guardians of the Tomb.
He might need the money.
Porters. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, he's doing animated voices in Bunyan and Babe and Storks. Yeah. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising.
Yeah.
He was a narrator on WrestleMania 32.
I don't even know them.
He was in Baby, Baby, Baby.
Like Father, which takes place completely on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Literally, about every 7-8 minutes, there's a cutaway to like a giant overhead helicopter shot of the Royal Caribbean cruise ship. It's like an ad for the Royal Caribbean cruise line, Corey. It's unbelievable. This was directed by Lauren Miller Rogan, the wife of Seth Rogan.
Okay.
Who shows up to be her love interest while she's now alone on this ship with her father, who she's estranged from. a complete piece of garbage in every way. My girlfriend wanted to watch this because she likes Kristen Bell, like I said, because she has a vagina.
I liked The Good Place.
Okay,
that's
fair
a
enough.
Good show.
I'm not saying Kristen Bell isn't talented.
Okay, oh.
But I'm saying women love her in anything.
You know what?
And even my girlfriend didn't.
Kelsey Grammer's co-star.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Yes.
Enhances everything he's in.
He does.
If I see Ted Danson in something,
yes.
It's generally going to make it better.
Bored to Death.
Great.
Brilliant show.
He's good on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
He's great on The Good Place.
Yes, Ted Danson.
Ted Danson
great.
Makes everything better.
But Ted Danson feels like a real guy. In a way that Kelsey is sort of like a, oh, well, excuse me.
Well, you know what? The distinction is, and this is really all it takes,
yeah.
is I heard an interview with, he was on, I think, Marin recently, yeah. Ted Danson, and he sounded like a good guy you'd like to hang out with.
Yeah, I've heard interviews
and
with Ted Danson.
He has humility.
Yeah.
And he was basically like, I had pretty limited acting chops,
right.
And I just...
He talks about doing CSI because he needed the money.
I happen
and all
to
that
be good
stuff.
Looking,
yeah.
And he's got humility.
Yeah,
Chevy doesn't have an ounce of humility in him.
Yeah,
Kelsey Grammer doesn't have an ounce of humility in him, and those guys come off like real dicks.
Yeah, they're not believable. They're not believable human beings.
Now,
which is what an actor needs to be. At least
now,
most of them.
Granted, we are both Howard Stern fans.
Yeah,
and Howard does a lot of boasting and bragging.
Yeah,
but he also does an equal amount of. I've got a tiny micro penis and
yes.
I'm a loser and I'm not funny. And
yeah.
he bashes himself. I feel like there's a certain element of younger people that are losing the ability to criticize themselves.
Yes. Well, it's
because social media culture is that you have to always be having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Well, it's just hip hop. I'm a superstar every fucking
it's
time.
It's all boasty.
It's all money. Look at me.
Well, Kanye.
Yeah.
Which I love, by the way, dear black folks. Kanye's a piece of shit. I'm glad you figured that out. You're welcome.
That's all right.
When did we make Kanye asshole of the year?
Right. Hey, black people, if you want to know who's a piece of shit in 15 to 20 years, ask me today. I'll tell you. It's like you got a goddamn crystal ball. Just ask your pal Joel.
Look.
I'll tell you who's a dirtbag.
Look. You want to praise Donald Glover? Go ahead. He's talented. But get out of here with that Kanye
he's
bullshit.
He's not the hero. Well, but Donald Glover's nobody's hero either. You know, I mean, no one.
No, but they him. Love a lot. They, I mean, a
yes.
lot of. What, a lot of I, believe me, there's a lot of white people that love Kanye.
Yeah,
too,
yeah,
or
yeah,
did
yeah.
love Kanye
yes,
until yesterday.
I know.
Now that, like, I love that they suddenly, when he goes on the Trump train, that's when they jump off with Kanye. I'm like, you had ample opportunity to see this guy was a piece of shit.
George Bush does not care about black people. But Donald Trump loves them.
What's interesting, they loved that when he did that.
Yes, I know.
And then now he's pro-Trump, and everybody's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but Kanye was an idiot regardless of the politics.
Right. But Kanye's George Bush doesn't care about black people thing didn't make any more sense than loving Donald Trump does. Does it?
What?
Did it? Does it? I don't know.
It was in the middle of a fundraiser for a hurricane, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
And then he goes...
He's standing next to Mike Myers.
And then poor Mike
looks
Myers...
Looks like a fucking goddamn... No wonder Mike Myers left show business, or kinda.
Well, he's on the Gong Show.
All right. I got one more goddamn thing to talk about.
Finish it up.
It's been 2 hours. We got to figure out who's getting the Twinkies and everything.
Well, the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries really got jumped up the front of the line.
I'm telling you. The detective in yoga pants. I'm telling you, Corey. That's it.
It's going to be a hit.
Telling you.
Do you have something that involves green tea? Because I think that we could pitch that as someone.
I'm telling you, here's this. Murder at Target.
Ooh!
Yes! God damn it.
Ooh!
Ooh! Back up the Brinks truck.
Could Target sponsor
this? Yes, it can be yes. Absolutely. Look, this whole fucking movie takes place on a Royal Caribbean ship. Why can't you have a murder in Target?
Ooh, what about a Viking River cruise where a couple solves mysteries? They roll down the Danube.
My parents are going out of fucking... In 2 weeks, they're going down. I don't know if it's a Viking.
By the way, I am.
They're going down a river in France.
Yeah,
and you love France.
Sure.
They're going to France. They're going down a river in France.
Are they going down the Seine?
They're going from Paris to Marseille.
Okay.
On a boat.
All right.
And they're stopping every day at a different city.
So they're going down the Seine. Well, because they got those Danube River cruises.
Yeah, they're
going
down the Seine.
You can take the Rhine and the Danube.
They're going down the Seine.
I
I am thinks the Viking River cruise looks appealing.
Yeah.
Old years old.
No,
that's how old I am.
My parents are.
I see those commercials and I go, that looks kind of good.
Right. You but go, my dad's going to be on the Seine.
Yeah.
You know, overlooking overlooking the French Alps or whatever the fuck he's looking at. And he's going to go, you know, the up north looks better than it used to. That's how fucking old my dad is. He's not even going to know where he is. My dad's going to be sitting there.
My in-laws went on.
Because his wife wants to go.
My parents, my dad doesn't fly.
Okay.
Doesn't like to fly.
Yeah.
So they've been on these long road trips all across the U.S., but they haven't gone. My in-laws went on a cruise.
Yeah.
After they'd never left the country.
Okay.
Until their 60s.
Yeah.
They took a cruise to Europe a few years
ago. Okay.
They come back and they talked about the boat and the entertainment on the boat and the gift shop. And then they were like, yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, we saw the Vatican.
Yeah,
like, it's like, you know what I mean? They didn't seem to appreciate the European aspect of it at all.
My dad's going to Normandy.
Like they ate on the boat.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like
that's the highlight. Yeah.
Like okay, if we were like at in the middle of the ocean, I would eat on the boat, obviously. But But like if we're in port, they're like
exactly.
We pulled into.
The food's free on the boat.
You know, we pulled into Milan.
Yeah,
that might not be a port city, but you know.
Well, yeah, I mean any of those. Yeah,
right. We're on. You know, we pull
you're
up
in Florence.
We're in Portugal.
Actually, I don't think Florence.
We're in Portugal, and I ate on the boat. Yeah. You know, it's like shut up.
Yeah, I know. But anyhow, all right. It's the last goddamn thing.
You know what? Their dad's gonna be watching the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries on the Netflix.
He wouldn't know what the fuck he's watching at this point. He just wants to have a television on. My stepmother said she had to turn off the television because my dad was kept watching. She said, can you take the pay-per-view preview channel out of the guide because your dad will just leave that on all day.
Oh.
And I go, yeah. Anyhow.
My parents had the voice assist on.
Oh, okay.
And couldn't figure out how to turn it off for weeks.
Oh, so like every time they move.
Every time they change the channel.
It reads the name
of
the show.
It would be like Monday Night Football. The Oakland Raiders are taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And like they would do, and like they couldn't turn it off. And I would be over there doing something else.
Yeah.
Because my parents moved into this house and still haven't moved in.
Yeah.
Like there's still boxes sitting around and stuff. And you're just like,
right.
Are we ever going to actually, live here? You know what I mean? Because they're like, well, we got to fix the back porch and the roof. And all.
When they're dead, it'll be easy to take that stuff
off exactly,
the curb.
Exactly.
It's still in the box.
Exactly. So I'm just like always, there's always something to do over there.
Yeah.
There's always some patch in or whatever.
My folks.
And
can I fix the computer for you today?
And it probably took me 2 weeks to finally go, Dad, give me the goddamn remote.
Yeah, exactly.
And turned off the voice assist.
Right.
Now he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because he fell down and broke his back.
Yeah.
And he's now in the hospital, and he's doped up and, like, barely knows where he is.
Yeah.
And he's got a Western on. I go, Dad, I'm like, what are you watching, Dad? He goes,
62.3 or something.
He goes, Cheyenne Autumn, 1957, Richard Widmark. Like, he knows the whole, like, he's not looking at a phone or IMDb, but he knows.
Right.
He's like, Sal Mineo's playing a Cherokee.
Right.
Like, he knows who's in the fucking movie
from
1957. He knows every Western, every
goddamn
movie.
Thing.
All right, kids.
We've Maniac on Netflix, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen The Maniac?
I didn't because skinny Jonah Hill disturbs me.
Well, there's that. Here's the thing about it. I think it's a 10-episode series. One thing I do like about it is the episodes kind of vary in length.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Some of them are like 50 minutes. Some of them are 30 minutes. It's kind of like, hey, we're telling a story here. But it's based on some other show. It's based on a Norwegian TV show.
Well, that's where all good TV comes from. It's Norway.
Emma Stone, Jonah Hill, and Justin Theroux are the stars you know. Kerry Joji Fukunaga.
Okay.
You know who he is?
The director.
Director. He made True Detective.
Yeah, Kerry Fukunaga.
He's directing these. And it's fucking weird. And I'm 4 episodes in. My girlfriend is struggling with it. She's trying to watch it because I like it. But until I've seen every episode, I can't. My feeling is it's one of those shows that is really, really weird. And then it'll make sense by the end. And you kind of got to stick with it. And I know for Netflix, that can be hard if you're not actually enjoying one episode to the next. And after the first episode, because I heard it got better, after the first episode said, let's go for two. And the second episode was better than the first episode. And then I think the third episode was better than the second episode. And I think the fourth episode was better than the third episode.
So it just keeps getting
better. I think it's going to keep getting better. Hopefully it's satisfactory payoff. But it's very bleak. It feels like Brazil. It's, you know, what do you call that? It's near, was it? It's the near future science fiction. So imagine Brazil, not quite Blade Runner. I mean, it looks like it could have been shot today, except for, you know, things are more, certain things are more high tech. It's kind of neat. It's dystopian.
They used to do that with like having a flat TV.
Yeah, but that doesn't help anymore.
Right, you can't get that. You got to go farther to make the tech look better. Now, because
Now it's, they do a thing where it's like, if you can't pay for something, this is one thing they do. It's in the first episode. Like Jonah Hill is going to pay for the subway, and he lost his credit card. He doesn't have any money. I forget what it was, and so he clicks the button on the screen, you know, to pay for his subway fare. It says, "Give me an ad, buddy." So Jonah Hill's standing there, and you see this big fat guy with a briefcase. Not Jonah Hill, because he's skinny now. Big fat guy walking by. And you see, next, they cut to Jonah Hill's on the subway, and the guy is handing him brochures, trying to, you know, tell him about stuff. Basically, live advertising. You can't pay for something. We'll send a guy to your location to harass you while you're on the subway to pay for something.
Well,
and it's kind of like, boy, that could kind of happen.
Sounds entirely plausible.
So that was kind of neat. They do a thing where they're taking drugs. They end up undergoing this medical testing for money because, you know, they both got problems, Jonah Hill and Emma Stone, and they don't like each other, but they end up together, and they start taking pills that make them hallucinate, and then the episodes start to become what's they're hallucinating about, so they actually leave their reality for a new reality, and there's an episode that involves a heist that feels very Tarantino. Like it was set in the early 90s on Long Island. It's kind of cool. So it's neat. It's neat. It's really dense. It's not fucking Glow. You're not going to laugh every second. It's not cute.
Well, I'm not laughing every second at Glow.
Well, season two of Glow wasn't good, but you get the point I'm saying.
On the David Lynchian weird meter, how is it better than, or how weird
it's
compared
not,
to?
It's not as weird as Lynch.
Compared to Legion.
I don't know Legion.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you said Legion's weird, but I don't know Legion.
You know what? Legion is like, you should watch.
Yeah, you know what? How far back am I on Legion?
We're season two.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be too far.
The pilot of Legion
should
have been a movie.
Okay.
It's great.
Yeah, I've heard Legion's good.
The first season's pretty good, but the second season, they just went full on with the up in the weird meter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's
oh, Jermaine Clement is on Legion.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I like
who,
Jermaine.
By the way, they're coming back with more
Are they
the
making
Concord.
A movie or are they making another series?
Yeah, they're doing some more Flight of the Conchords stuff.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, you know what? Season 2 of Flight of the Conchords not that good. Season 2 of Glow not that good. Season 1 of Flight of the Conchords great.
Well, the problem with Flight of the Conchords is they just ran out of steam on making songs.
Yes, the songs were less good.
They also were in a position where they couldn't have a story on Flight of the Conchords because the story was they were losers.
Yeah.
And some shows are better, like this one, where nothing ever happens.
Well, yeah. Well, the problem, too, with Flight of the Conchords, you have to remember, is that they had done, you know, an album and, like, a BBC radio series with all of those songs, and those you can get those. Those episodes of the HBO show were done as radio dramas, and what's her name's in them too? What's her name? The actress.
Caitlin.
The biggest fan.
Yeah, Kristen.
Yeah, yeah.
Stewart.
No.
No.
What's her name?
Kristen Schaal.
Kristen Schaal's on the radio. So, you know what I mean? They had sort of gotten a pass at those stories and those songs in the past.
Well,
it's kind of the difficult second album.
This happens to a lot of comedians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer spent years in the clubs working on her hour.
Mm-hmm.
So her first hour was great. Her second hour, she then had 2 weeks to put together.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Like, I
yeah,
don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not 2 weeks, but
well, yeah, I mean,
it shows it's with comics sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
They'll have that first album. It'll be hit material.
Yeah, right.
And then Louis C.K. did this whole, you got to put an album out every year.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
You got to do a new hour every
year.
That's
really bad advice.
And guys who can't get 20 good minutes together thought they had to do a new hour every year.
Yeah, I think it was Tom Papa and Marin yelled at each other about that.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Because Papa's like, well, look, if you're only going to see me once, and you like these bits I've done in the past, I should do them for you so you don't feel like you're missing anything. And Marin's like, well, you know, I like to come out with a new hour so people that have seen the show will come back and see a brand new show. And Papa's like, I may never see these people again. And they like me. And I think they're both valid arguments.
I think it's just a little unrealistic to expect that you're going to have a new hour worth of good material arbitrarily every 10 months.
And it's also,
or whatever it is.
And it's also unrealistic when you're a guy doing open mic at the fucking bar down the street that you got to have a new hour when nobody knows the guy. First of all, you didn't have an hour to begin with. It's not like you burned through your first hour. If you're lucky, you got 7 goddamn minutes.
Well,
and that's, you know,
now if your
you
business,
can freshen that up.
If your business model is selling specials on Netflix or,
yeah,
or
well,
albums,
exactly.
Then I understand why you got to make a new content. But
and the fucking, and I'm going to tell you this, comics.
But by the way, if you go on the road and you're doing comedy,
yes,
you get to the point where you have material and yeah. You might be have a, your set might go a certain way. The way it's going now.
Yes.
Is the way you do it. But yeah. Then you might be in a position where you go, that's not going to work here.
Okay.
So you take one piece out and you put another piece in.
Yeah.
Or two pieces out.
Right.
That's really how comics work.
That is more than.
Is
yeah.
That they will go.
You don't wholesale throw away the hour.
I got a couple new bits.
Yeah. It evolves.
Or I'm going to take some bits I haven't done in a while and put them back in.
Yeah.
You have moving parts, really.
Yes, exactly.
And this premise that it's a novel and it's like each.
Yes. It's not one piece of work. Yes.
Each page is a chapter. Mm-hmm. It builds a chapter, and each chapter builds a novel. Like, it's not a novel.
It is a Frankenstein's monster
there,
of pieces, yes.
It's, you know, comedy
is spare parts.
It's magnets on a refrigerator.
Yeah, sort of.
It's
sure,
really
yeah,
what
yeah.
It is.
Here's the other thing, comics.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys who are doing specials every year, and again, I'm
have writers.
Generalizing, but they have writers. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart's writers have sued Kevin Hart because mm-hmm. Kevin Hart isn't giving him credit or didn't pay
Chris
him.
Rock's.
Guys have writers.
Neil
it's
Brennan
fine.
Wrote for Chris Rock.
Jeff Cesario wrote for Dennis Miller.
I think
it's fine. I mean, and it's not like, and there's nothing wrong
I
with
think
that.
Marin's probably writing his own stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Louis wrote his stuff. I think Carlin wrote his stuff. I think those guys write their own stuff.
And if
stuff,
you watch
but
a Marin set.
I think Seinfeld writes his stuff.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of those guys use writers, and that's just part of the business. And look, every comic before...
Seinfeld doesn't have a new set every 8 months, though.
I don't know what Seinfeld's deal is, because the deal is the guys that do the specials. The special is the end of the tour. It's the opposite of music.
You blow
up... Musicians put out the album and then tour it. Comics tour it and
then
put
out
the album
and
then get rid of it
album,
and
right,
do new
right.
stuff. So it's the complete opposite
but
of a band.
But it's an unrealistic expectation that every time you see
no.
a comic, he's going to never do the old stuff.
I can tell you as a comic, if you're trying to get booked someplace and you're auditioning to get in a club, you're submitting a tape or you're appearing live as a guest set or an opening act or open micer, and you do a set and the person that books the club goes, hey, I want to hire you. Guess what? They don't want to hire you. They want you to perform that set in front of a paid audience.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like we like you, come to our club and perform. No, they want you to do that set in front of a paid audience.
Oh, I've heard.
And people miss that. And so many guys, they get
into comedy
castle.
I've heard bookers go.
They get into comedy castle.
I got to know what you're going to do.
Yeah. They get into comedy castle. They do a set, and it's great. And then they go, you know what? I don't do that stuff anymore. And that's because a lot of guys, they write for the comics, and they think, oh, comics are like, this guy's not writing new stuff. He's just doing the same old stuff. This guy's not good. And we've heard this a million times. And then the guys go, all right, I'm going to write all new stuff. And they get to the club. And then if even they try to throw the switch and go, hey, I'll do all the new stuff, it's not rehearsed, and it's not as good as it could be because they haven't been rehearsing it at the open mics.
Well,
that it took us 2 hours and 3 minutes to give some actual sage advice on this show and not talk
but
about Oreos and Twinkies.
It's all right. You're completely right,
yeah.
though. Like, okay, now if you are playing the same club all the time, though, if you're like a regular at that club and you
yeah.
come back, you're going to want to vary the material.
I think it's helpful. I don't think it's required.
I mean,
think it's helpful.
Now, I have the feeling like people, every time it's a whole new audience, but that's not true.
No.
And if people come to, say, the Comedy Castle and they've
yeah.
seen me open for various other people,
yeah.
they're going to see my act over again.
Right, yeah.
And you don't want to do that all the time. That used to be more prevalent. Where
it is, I mean,
now it's with fewer clubs. It's not,
but also,
but it used to be like they'd have house guys.
That's true.
Or if you have a house MC.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I think the house MC is a bad idea.
Well, in that, if the but in if that it if, forces that guy to do crowd
but
work,
but if you've got regular customers and they're like, I want to come see this comedy show four times a year.
Yeah,
and you got a house MC.
Yeah.
They're going to sit through his set four times.
Well, but also, if you're the opening act and people have heard it before, it's really not that big a deal because you'll be gone in 15, 20 minutes and then there'll be another guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as the headliner, to feel like you're, are you going to go see that? I'm not going to say names, but are you going to go see this guy that's been doing that thing for 15 years a second time? And some people will because they just remembered it was good. They don't remember the act.
Sometimes people don't care.
Some people don't remember the act because the act isn't memorable. That's another thing that happens.
Well, and then you've got these bar show guys that are like, they play every third Thursday at the same bar.
Yeah.
And they do the same jokes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names, Ron Coden. But and he's a guy.
Listen, if you want to get thrown out of show business, keep insulting Ron Coden. And then we're going to end up doing a show from your dining room table in the middle of the afternoon.
By the way, there's
GMA
a
GMA day.
By the way,
oh, wait a minute.
Does Ron Coden ever go to any other club?
I don't fucking know even who Ron Coden is.
No, I know, but he does a show, and it's every third Thursday. Right, I know.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
But here's the point.
And it's the same show.
Look,
and it's the same
the guys, you know, your heroes. Look, when you're a star, when people are paying money to see you, it's different than just being the rank-and-file comedian. And right now, you're a rank-and-file comedian. You, me, everybody listening, that's a comedian.
You're a ham and egger.
Yuck. unless you're Steve Martin and you're listening to this, you're a fucking hack, all right? So listen.
Steve Martin's listening to this. He's run out of things to listen to. Look, comics do the same stuff over and over again.
They do.
It's just how it is. Bill Cosby.
It's called a routine for a reason.
Bill Cosby had a routine.
Yeah.
He would invite a Miss American contestant up to his hotel room.
Slip them a Quaalude and start sucking on their toes.
That's a routine. Let's end this debacle.
I think let's end it. Some people will go end it forever. I don't think that's going to happen, but we're going to end it for today.
Would you like a gin and tonic? My bubbly and bubbly and it goes down and it bubbles in your mouth.
I didn't put. Okay, so the Theo. Was it Theo?
Yeah.
Who was the guy that was bragging groceries?
Oh, no. That was Alvin.
Alvin. So Alvin's, and I was, what I wanted to write, maybe somebody wrote this and I'm just hearing this, but I wanted to write, if you think this is sad of what happened to him, let me tell you what happened to the dad on the Cosby Show. But I didn't have the balls to post that because I didn't want to seem sexist.
I'm funny.
It is funny. I'm a funny person.
Well, you know,
I
that guy, what was
something.
The guy, Jeffrey Wright, whatever, what was the guy's name? Anyway. With that guy.
I do a new podcast every 2 to 3 weeks, Corey. I'm freshening shit.
But the guy with the Cosby Show, that underscored a certain problem with the American public.
It did.
They thought that a sitcom actor who was the fifth lead.
Fifth? The kids were, he was married to one of the kids. He wasn't even one of the kids.
Seventh lead.
Right.
Jeffrey Owens.
Malcolm Jamal Warner. Now, when Malcolm Jamal Warner's parking cars, we might have a problem.
All right. So you got Cosby, Felicia Rashad.
You want to go that?
Malcolm Jamal Warner. All right. So Alvin's.
Lisa Bonet.
Yeah. Alvin's about ninth in the credits, right?
Yeah, right.
On a sitcom.
Yeah.
No, it was a big hit sitcom.
It was the biggest sitcom of its day.
But the last episode of The Cosby Show aired in 1992.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. His residual checks are like 3 cents right now.
Right. Right. And then they stopped being residual checks altogether.
Yeah.
When they pulled the Cosby Show because Bill.
Oh, it's still
like
on.
Put
the Quaalude. Still on.
Oh, is it?
The day he got convicted, it was on TV One or something. I flipped by it.
It's still on the black channels.
And it's also
on Bounce.
Yes.
BET.
And what do you call those channels?
The black channels?
No. They're not the black channels, Corey.
What?
They're the African American television experience.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, they're the African American television diaspora.
You know the irony is the Joel Radio Studio. First of all, thank you for hosting me today for Joel Radio, Corey. It was a pleasure.
Yeah,
the Joel Radio Studios, which I think this is news to you, maybe it isn't, have now been wired for fiber optic.
Oh,
we are now powered by light, but we can't take a shit in the studio, so we can't be there today.
Unbelievable.
So we're going to get that situation rectified. We will be back at you from the Jewel Radio Studios. But check me out, 9, 10 a.m. every Tuesday night with Mike Bonner, 9, 10 a.m. Superstation.com. You can stream it. I'm on a webcam. You can look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Who would want to?
We have some attractive African-American ladies on that show, Corey. That you could watch.
I could.
You I'm could. Not, I'm not
No, you know, I haven't.
Look, Bill, if you're in the clink and you have internet, go to 9:10 a.m. Superstation. There may be girls on there you want to slip a Benadryl to.
I love Mike Bonner, though. I love working with Mike. I haven't done the show in a long time.
Yeah, you should come on. It's 11 o'clock. It's late for people. 11 to 1 on Tuesday. 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The problem with that show is I don't know who's going to be on there.
Well, you're going to be on there.
I know.
You called in and called some guy an asshole, and then you went in there and faced the guy, and you showed the guy up. I listened. But,
But I didn't know he was going to be there.
Well, I think I did. I wasn't there.
So I don't know who's going to be on, though.
Well, you know, it's going to be Leroy's Chicken and Waffles. That's who's going to be on, usually.
Yeah, it's always like some guy from the neighborhood.
There's a catering company. Some guy put out a hip-hop album.
Right.
I think the number one employer of African-American men in the city of Detroit is guys who make their own T-shirts. Pretty much number one. The number one occupation, making T-shirts.
Stop.
That is the top.
Have you
occupation.
Had the guy from Asian Corned Beef in?
I don't know that he's been in. I'm not there every night. Mike's there every night.
There's I'm a huge fan. God, this show's never going to end.
It's never going
to
end.
I'm a huge fan of like public access.
I have no desire to go to my house.
I know.
Because I can't take a shit. I'm going to sit here all day.
Well, you can come and shit up my toilet all you want. I'm a big fan of local TV.
Yes.
Which there isn't much of anymore.
Yes.
And I loved it. I loved it to the point where I worked on a show with a werewolf just to do local TV. And he's back, by the way. Go see Wolfman Mac.
Wolfman Mac's been on our show a couple times.
He's doing shows at the Pontiac Little Theater.
Good.
In October. Go look up Mac. Anyway, but there's a show called We Love You, Detroit.
Oh.
And it's this like dude that just goes around to like Paquette Market. He's basically got an ad scheme going on where he gets people to like
pay to play or something.
Now tell about this fabulous, delicious fish and chips that you're operating at McNichols and Joy Road. And like whatever the shit it is. And it's like he just is a hype man
for
like all these restaurants. And then like they do the ad for Asian corned beef, which is a real thing.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
And Asian corned beef, where you can get corned beef without any Jew ever touching your food. They've got the Texas Toast Reuben.
Okay.
So you've got black people making Reubens on Texas toast. And it's called Asian corned beef.
And we'll take it.
It's amazing. It's the kind of that's fusion.
There it is.
Yeah, I think like a Filipino guy owns the chain or something.
There you go.
It might be why it's called Asian corned beef. It's amazing. All I know, it's that's
you buy, we fry.
Yeah, and they go. Yeah, and he does those things. He's like
50 of those.
Right, right.
Go down 8 miles.
But he'll go to like that's his whole show.
Every block. Yeah.
His whole show is he'll be like, now tell me about your haddock.
Paid place.
Tell me about the haddock choices.
I'm not saying 9-10's not taking money for some of those guys coming on, selling their hats and their hip hop albums,
their millinery, church hats.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good stuff.
Look, if you want to know about a plus size fashion show taking place on Livernois this Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3,
we must have covered what.
Then you get on 9-10 a.m.
The now late great Watts Club Mozambique.
Yes, Watts Club.
Right.
Mozambique.
There was so Channel 62 is now a CBS affiliate, but it was in the 90s. It was like the independent
WGPR, right?
WGPR. Yeah. It was kind of the independent African-American owned station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they famously had the new dance show,
mm-hmm.
which was their like Soul Train.
Yeah.
But it was just like
local Soul Train. Yeah.
Local Soul Train. Yeah. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it on the show before.
Yeah.
But they would have ads.
Fly looking brothers.
Oh yeah, and it was just they would do the Jesse the Body, high top fades.
Oh
and
yeah,
people doing you know
pop locking.
Playing EPMD tracks and dancing and that, right. And anyway, which they'd have to bleep out or whatever. And then they had the part. It was all booty party mix music. Anyway,
Roxanne.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Can't you understand?
Exactly.
No, I don't know.
But they'd have these ads.
I'm not sure about Roxy.
They'd have these ads.
Yeah.
For, you know, like local businesses, like Paquette Market.
Yeah.
And they would, and the Dietrich Furs.
They'd tell you how much beef you got for $49.50.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Allen's, 25, 2 for 50.
Yeah.
And Dietrich Furs would shot one ad in the 70s and just ran, it was like people in fur coats in the snow riding on horses. Yeah, ice skating and stuff. And they ran those ads.
Well, those meat markets were great because you get 12 spare ribs, 3 pork bellies, 3 pounds of chitlins, and all for $49.
It's amazing stuff. And the greatest of them all was the Watts Club Mozambique Exotic Male Dancers.
Exotic Male Dancers.
We should post a link to it.
I'm sure it's on
YouTube. And the club finally burned down. But it was like the greatest.
Didn't you say a thong got caught on fire?
Well, they were so sexy.
Yeah.
That the dancers were so hot.
Yeah.
That they spontaneously combusted the building.
One of my man, when I managed the movie theater back in college.
Yeah.
The Cinemark Movie 16, the legendary dollar show, which was actually never a dollar show.
Which, by the way, only closed last year.
Yeah. It's now like a first run theater. They MJR.
And I went to it
last year, in the last two years.
Exactly like 1996. Yeah.
This Tracy, one of our managers, African American lady, was dating the Egyptian lover from Watts Club Mozambique. So he'd show up to pick her up after work. So I got to hang out with the Egyptian lover. I have that claim to
it's
fame.
It's the great. I'm going to put the link
all
to
right,
this.
Let's do that.
It's the greatest goddamn commercial you've ever seen.
We'll put it on joelradio.net.
It's like the dance. They're like all teams. They're like.
So I have it in my notes.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Oh.
All right. We got to go. Come on. Let's get the fuck out of here. For you, lady. Watch Club Mozambique male dancers out there just for you. You only. At Watch Club Mozambique, you'll all right. See. Capital Let's get out of here, everybody.
Capital punishment.
Another level. Sudden impact.
Is the Egyptian lover on this one?
Strictly ghetto. Juicy.
Oh, it's so good.
Joyride.
All right, I'll post the link.
Yeah, that's but I remember seeing ads with the Egyptian lover like that. Anyway, thanks for listening to Joel Radio. We got to go. Thank you, Corey.
We've done
enjoy
too
the pumpkin spice Twinkies on the rocky road.
Maybe I'll take it to my wife.
I think
wife
the wife
office.
Would enjoy those. Or you can take a couple. I'll take the rest home, whatever you want to do.
Maybe I'll take those to the office.
Get out of here.
Here.
What are we going to do? Splitting them up?
Take one of these right
Twinkie
now.
Twinkie diplomacy. All right.
Get that out of here.
See you later, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Go to joelradio.net. We'll have the link to Watts Club Mozambique. We've got
and so much more.
We've got 13 years of shows up on joelradio.net. A lot of people don't realize that. Not just the ones you can get on iTunes or on your RSS feed or Stitcher. There's 13 years of shows.
11 years of which should be buried.
All right. See you later, everybody. Good night. What a show.